If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And we're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb.
Which is hard to do.
We're watched with a fine-tooth comb, really?
He is a hate monger, an anti-Semite, and a racist.
Kevin, I just want to let you know that you're wrong. You're so very wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. You're just wrong.
W-R-O-N-G. Let's let it breathe. You don't create a fine wine and then drink it right out of the grape bucket.
Bean. Seriously? No one cares.
Hey, ladies and gents, way in the back of the house, come on over here. It's me, Lightning, from the world famous K-Rock. I want to say thank you very much for coming out to Longshot Sports Bar here in Hollywood Park. Bring all your friends out. Bring your dollar beers. Bring your hot dogs. Whatever you're going to do, munch. Get a good spot right here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Give it up for Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
And now,
dude. Nah.
Our feature presentation.
Did he say Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
I'm afraid he did. He also said, do whatever you got to do. Munch. Get a good seat over here.
What?
Munch.
He also said, bring your dollar beers, which is odd.
Yeah. You know, Lightning. I apologize for you having to hear Lightning this early on a Tuesday morning. That's not easing back into the work week when you hear Lightning's voice at 5:30 in the freaking morning.
That's so true. So true. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32. It's Tuesday, the 29th of May. I see them.
Not what I call bodacious, but firm, supple, pleasing to the eye.
Pleasing to the eye.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's from the last. I watched the last two Veronica Mars over the weekend. So aww. Sad to see that show go, especially since they left it on a cliffhanger. And now the show's not coming back, and you don't know what happened.
Bastards.
I know.
They should have, like, a special two-hour.
What was the cliffhanger? Was she in jail? Was she dying? What?
There are a couple of things going on. Her father's running for re-election in sheriff and is surrounded in a scandal and some other stuff going on with Veronica, too. But, you know, when they shot the show, they didn't know whether it was coming back or not. You know, they were hoping it was. And then, of course, it happens all the time with shows. You never find out how they end. I mean, you can make a long list of shows you've fallen in love with over the years that you never figured out how they ended because they get canceled before they do.
Right.
I still wonder what happened with Millennium. I still sit around wondering how that ever worked
Millennium.
Out.
Millennium?
Remember that show?
Oh, barely.
It was a great show.
Only because it had gravelly voice of God. What was his name?
What is that guy's name?
Which guy are you talking about?
The guy, the Millennium, star. The main star of Millennium.
The main star of Millennium
Lance,
was the
Lance
was the
Hendrickson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All I could hear was Armstrong.
The X-Files ended, and I still don't know what happened there either. And they knew were ending.
and they made a movie, and we still don't know what the hell's
exactly.
going on.
Exactly.
Well, maybe in the second movie. They're talking about making another movie. Maybe they'll answer the questions then. So, anyway, did it seem like a long weekend, you guys? Seemed like 3 days,
Jill?
Yes, it felt was great.
So good.
It was great. Not you?
You know me. Come on.
Yeah. Never enough days off.
I just I spend the weekend like I spend every weekend, which is, you know, leaning like a cholo. I mean, that's pretty much all I do.
If anyone leans like a cholo, it is you.
It has got to be me.
That's
true. So other than that,
saw the first game of the Stanley Cup playoffs last night.
How about that?
Ducks against the Ottawa Senators, and the Ducks ended up winning.
Yay!
Fantastic. But I got to tell you, there were a few things that bothered me. One of them, of course, the national anthem, which we're going to have to force in later, because it was maybe the worst national anthem I've ever heard.
Who sang it?
Stills, the guy from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Yeah,
Stephen Stills.
Stephen Stills.
Two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member Stephen Stills, as they introduced him, and collectively the nation said. Stephen Stills?
Yeah.
Is singing the national anthem at the Stanley Cup Finals?
And don't we have to talk to someone and find out how they pick these people?
I was talking with the guy that I was watching it with. I was like, if I were to make a list of 100 people to sing the song, he wouldn't even be considered and discarded.
No.
It would just never come to my mind. And he was awful, by the way. He was really bad.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the 1-2 punch is A, bad choice just because he's Stephen Stills, but B, at least if he was really good, you could go,
right.
Well, it wasn't my choice, but it was okay. But it can't be both.
Yeah, it was bad and a surprise, both.
And by the way, first game, Stanley Cup, there's never a whiter spotlight on, you know, the Ducks or the city of Anaheim than right now. I mean, you know, Gwen Stefani, for God's sakes, lives 5 minutes away. Yeah. Is a great singer, contemporary. Put her on. Like Kevin said, you can make a list of 100 people.
Yeah.
The freaking winner of American Idol last week would have been a better choice. At least she's somebody contemporary who can sing.
Forget right. that. Sanjaya would have been better.
Sanjaya would have been better than Stephen Stills. I mean,
I can give you a second of it here
if you want to hear some of it. Yes. Now I know we're doing more later, but here's I think we're at this is the big finale or close to it.
Oh, say does that star-spangled...
That's all you get.
Oh, my God.
That's supposed to be the same note. Star-spangled, him, star-spangled. Oh, he was bad.
You've heard your grandpa try to sing. Oh, there you go.
Here's one of the other things that I thought was very funny, because people, I don't know, it's really bizarre. It's almost like people are running the Ducks that don't know hockey.
Really?
First of all, I'm sure that they just were blown away by Stephen Stills, who won a couple of Grammys or whatever. I don't know. Or Hall of Fame. And didn't make him sing to test it.
Yeah, of course, you're not going to make him audition.
Right. But the other thing is that they tried to do a moment of silence for the troops. And don't know hockey fans.
Oh.
You just, it's game one of the Stanley Cup. And while the troops deserve a moment of silence, it's not going to go well. And I started counting to the first person that yelled during the moment of silence, because I knew it was coming.
Yeah, they left that moment too long. They needed to just get their 1 second moment of silence and then move on.
They said moment. I think in reality it was like 23, 24 seconds total. But listen to this.
In observance of Memorial Day, we will now honor the men and women who have served their country, protecting our freedom and our way of life, with a moment of silence.
1001, 1002, 1003.
Okay, get out of it now, dude. Seriously.
1005. 1006, 1007, 1008. Oh, there it is.
Who's that tool?
That was a bunch of people. And finally he goes,
Thank you.
I blame the first guy the most, though, because what kind of a douchebag are you that you have to be that
for
guy?
God's sakes. Those people are so hyped up for hockey. I'm saying bad decision. Don't try to have a moment of silence or turn off the microphones, you know, in the house or whatever. So
that's a good idea.
So that at least on TV it comes across. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
You ought to be able to ask Americans, though, on Memorial Day to be quiet for 10 seconds at any event.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Hockey fans.
You've given up on people.
Not game one of the Stanley Cup finals.
But isn't there something bigger than that, which is how about 10 seconds out of your day to be respectful?
Nope.
I think they got 10 seconds. The problem was going for more.
Actually, yeah. And then they finally just gave up, realizing now people are starting to yell a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Nowhere near a moment, so I love that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We are going to give away tickets, speaking of the Stanley Cup Finals. We're going to give away tickets to see the Ducks tomorrow night at home.
Oh, that's great.
Game two. Very excited about that.
Those cannot be easy to come by.
Nope, they are not. And we're going to give you tickets.
Is that so he doesn't... Are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Mm. Oh. We had Jay Moore in the studio on, was it Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
And he was talking about UFC and how Chuck Liddell was going to lose. I'm telling you right now, put all your money on Rampage. Put all of your money on Quentin Jackson. And we were saying, how do you know he's fighting Chuck Liddell? And he said something about he saw him drinking or something. First round, gone.
Wow.
Knocked him out. So Psycho Mike has an update on that fight, because that was unbelievable. The first thing I thought was, oh, my God, Jay Moore knew what he was talking about.
So maybe a little less time filming Entourage and a little more time getting ready for the fight?
Maybe, yeah. Also on today's show, girls who prefer ugly guys.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about Marvel Comics launching Hispanic-based comic book characters.
Like a cholo. Side to side. Elbows up, side to side.
Like a cholo. So that's coming up this morning. We didn't get the guy that wants to kill you, did we?
No, he's a pussy.
Guy wanted to kill Psycho Mike.
He talks a big game when I'm not around. Then when I call him up, no, bro. You know what? It's just I was kind of offended, but I don't
Armenian
want to
guy.
Kill you, bro.
Yeah.
He's okay, bro. Puss.
Although Browse tells us he's starting to get some backlash, some heat from his community. We may have to talk to him about that at some point this
week. He's been exiled from Glendale.
Oh, my God.
He's not even allowed to own a cell phone now. That's how bad it's gotten.
That's hitting at the heart right there.
I know.
Also on today's show, we have highlights of our conversation with John Sebastian Giguere.
Oh, great.
Coming up at the 6 o'clock hour, and it's Threesome Tuesday. So very excited about that. We're going to help another couple with a threesome.
It used to be book report Tuesday, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it used to be threesome Thursday, but I think now we're going to go ahead and just up it a day and just go with 2 days a week.
Because we just can't wait.
Exactly. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next. This is from the just before the hockey game yesterday with the Ducks, Stanley Cup Finals. The governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, came out.
A goalie known as the Dominator was here on Tuesday. Tonight, a governor known as the Terminator.
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California, to drop the first puck.
He's here playing hurt, recovering from a broken femur.
See, FEMA.
Oh, no.
The governor.
Now, the governor thinks that he's that it's a photo op, but it's not really. They really want him to drop the puck, but he won't because he's getting his picture taken.
One of these two gentlemen to take the ceremonial face-off will lift the Stanley Cup when his team has won four.
Drop it. Go ahead, drop it. Drop it. Drop it.
He finally dropped it. By the way, that's not a fan. That's the guy out on the ice with him. That's the guy from the Ducks going, please drop the puck. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's standing there staring at the camera instead of dropping the puck. And by the way, what was he wearing? He looked like he was out of the Dick Tracy movie or something. He's wearing like a big like blue coat. It was just looked goofy.
I don't even know. But I love that. 5:49, Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, how was your weekend?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Better than Lindsay Lohan's.
Yes, it was.
Oh, how about that?
Well, now I'm sure you heard Lindsay Lohan caught very early last Friday morning, about 5:30 a.m., driving her Mercedes convertible when she lost control of it and slammed into a curb and some trees off of Sunset in Beverly Hills, California. Here's the funniest part. She had been partying all night, as you can expect. She was boozing at Ledoux, a nightclub in Los Angeles.
How do you know she just didn't get up bright and early to go work out first thing, Ralph? Come on, why are you assuming?
Because I'm reading the story here. It says she was partying at Ledoux and left the nightclub at 3 a.m. to attend a house party in the Hollywood Hills. And then after she left that party, she made a pit stop at Sky Bar at Mondrian Hotel before going back to her condo around 4:45 a.m. But here's the kicker. She wasn't driving that night. She had a chauffeured limo taking her around the entire evening to all these parties.
Really?
Then she decides when she gets back to her condo, for some reason she's got to go out again and gets into her own car around 5:15 a.m. And that's when she crashed just minutes later.
Oh, my God.
So for everyone who said, why doesn't she just get a limo driver to take her? She's rich. She doesn't need to drive herself. She did until, I guess, booze hampered her judgment and she got behind the wheel of a car.
When you have to have a burger.
Because yeah, you've been drinking all night. She's probably in Kevin mode. She needed to go to Fatburger or something.
You just have to.
Or she was in Ralph mode and was out of smokes. Needed to get a fresh pack. But, yeah, cops found her. Not only was she injured, so she had to go to the hospital for some minor injuries in her upper chest. But cops on the scene found some cocaine in the car, although they say it was not on her where they found it.
Just in her car?
Somewhere her car, in her car. But there was a couple other people in the car, so it could be anybody's, I suppose.
Does it get any better? Does it get any sweeter than that?
Nope. So, DUI for Linlow.
Yeah.
She's still too young to drink legally, right?
What? 20
there
isn't
is
the...
that.
But 20 isn't the...
And she's, I don't 20, think it is.
I was thinking she's back in rehab now. How bummed is she? Because how's this going to affect her birthday party?
Good point.
I didn't hear she was back in rehab.
I didn't either.
I heard it this morning in the news. She's back in promises.
Well, I mean, that is what you do.
Lisa makes stuff up, people.
I just heard it on my way in.
She is a girl and therefore unreliable.
Right.
But she also left the scene of the accident, which is there some question as to, if another car isn't involved, is that allowed? If you've just run into a tree, can you then back up and go on your way?
I don't know, but the tree has an attorney and will be soon.
And I hope the tree wins.
Here's the best part. It was just a party weekend for Lindsay. After that night, the next morning, paparazzi caught her going home around 4 a.m. the following morning after a pool party at Teddy's at Roosevelt Hotel.
Fantastic.
And the photos pretty much speak for themselves. You can see an apparently hammered, let's say, Lindsay Lohan. And she's vomiting.
Nice.
Tossing her cookies. And then several photos where it appears she's passed out with friends. But the best part is the little trinket that is dangling from a necklace hanging on her rearview mirror of her car that reads, 30 days sober.
Whore.
So we'll be following this entertaining story. Also, as a little sidebar, 7 shopping days till Paris Hilton goes to jail.
So fantastic.
We'll keep you posted on that. The Cannes Film Festival was the place to be last week. Apparently, that's where all the good parties were. New York Post says the best party had to be thrown aboard Kid Rock's yacht. First of all, it's disturbing to me that Kid Rock has his own yacht. But more importantly, his guest list for his bash at the Cannes Film Festival was Jessica Simpson.
Ooh, yeah.
Leo DiCaprio, Misha Barton, Jude Law, Snoop, Minnie Driver, Jay-Z, the cast of Entourage, and the highlight of the evening, a jam between Bono and James Blunt.
Wow, that was all good right up till that last name. James Blunt.
That whole party sounds like just a bad lasagna feverish dream you have at night. Just you got Snoop and Jude Law and Minnie Driver and Jay-Z, Bono and James Blunt. Oh, no, wake me up. It's very odd. George Clooney also having a good time at Cannes Film Festival. They, of course, are debuting Ocean's 13 there. During interview, he showed off his fabled sense of humor as he blasted his good friend Brad Pitt, saying how Brad was having really tough times with things lately. He's hobbled with children and has a horrible, ugly life, George said to the press. Gotta love him.
Is Mr. Clooney counting down the days till he meets his new life partner, Ralph Garman?
Listen, stop trying to make a gay thing out of it, first of all, will you? We're just going to be best buds. We're going to be pals in the most masculine, heterosexual of ways.
Sure, yeah.
And no, George doesn't know what's going to hit him yet, but he will.
Are you going to sweep him off his feet?
Yes.
All right.
His life is about to get so much better, if that's possible, and he doesn't even realize it.
Look, here's the thing. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, they are the modern Rat Pack, if you will. This was the legendary group of celebrities like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. that was in the 50s and 60s. It was known as sort of the summit of the entertainment world.
So there's three in that one and there's three in this one?
No, you're missing my point entirely. There were more than three.
Okay.
There was Sammy and there was Dean and there was Frank, but they always had a few much lesser talented, less famous hanger-oners in the group. They had Joey Bishop. They had Peter Lawford. That's what Clooney needs. He needs a much less talented, less famous hanger-on to complete his Rat Pack.
I see.
You want to be his Angie Dickinson, basically. That's what you're looking for.
I want to be his Joey Bishop is what I want to be. Or his Peter Lawford, or his Henry Silva, his Norman Fell. You name it. I'll be any of those guys.
Do you think he feels an emptiness that will be filled?
Well, sometimes you don't always need what you know what you need.
Yeah.
You know what you want, but you don't know what you need. So that's what I'm going to give George Clooney. Not what he wants, but what he needs.
I just sense that whatever free time he has, and he's a busy man, he's banging 20-year-old models. I just sense that there's not an emptiness.
I'm not going to get in the way of that.
Okay.
I'm not going to be an albatross around his neck.
Will you
step out? For God's
sake,
the guy hangs out with Richard Kind.
That's true. They are longtime friends.
Yes, exactly. Remember Alicia Cuthbert?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rumor is she is engaged to be married.
Oh, that's not right.
Another one bites the dust. She, of course, star of 24, The Girl Next Door, House of Wax, the soon-to-be-released Kill All the Girls movie. Remember that's called? Captivity. Apparently getting married to New York Ranger hockey player Sean Avery.
Yeah.
The pair have been dating since 2005, and she's a huge hockey fan, has season tickets to the Kings here in Los Angeles. Both her... her brother and her mother, by the way, play on hockey teams in her native Canada.
Her mother?
That's a hockey family right there.
Wow. And she's the fighter on the team.
That's right. She's the badass. She's the executioner, they call her, I think, on the squad.
She's the Sean Avery.
That's right.
They should have had Miss Cuthbert singing the national anthem at the next game instead of Stephen Stills.
Yes, they should have.
Orlando Bloom.
Did you see it, Ralph?
I did not, no.
Oh, you got to hear the tape later. You'll love it.
Orlando Bloom may have found love after all. His bitching and moaning.
Wait a minute. You were just talking about this last Thursday, Friday.
I know. Star Magazine says he is currently dating his co-star Naomi Harris, who plays the crazy-haired voodoo chick from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Miss Cleo.
Yeah, Miss Cleo.
I love her.
Exactly. She tells your future and takes you to Davy Jones' locker.
She's got effed up teeth, but other than that, I love her.
She's, I think that was makeup.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that was theatrical makeup. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, the two have gotten cozy on and off the set and are now an item, if you believe Star Magazine.
Has Keira Knightley ever been hotter, by the way?
She's unbelievable.
She's beautiful in that.
Man.
Even when she's dressed as an Asian pirate.
Yep.
When Miss Cleo takes you to Davy Jones' locker, is that a euphemism or does she really take you to Davy Jones' locker?
It depends on if you're Orlando Bloom or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not.
And I always thought Playboy was sort of low rent when they would try to pay anybody who was a pseudo-celebrity, got to try to get them to pay, pose naked in the pages of their magazine.
Because mm-hmm. they're not necessarily hot, they're just famous.
They're right. not necessarily naked either.
Yeah. And they're just trying to sell magazines, right. and I can't blame them for that, but I thought some of their choices were dubious. Well, according to In Touch magazine, Playgirl magazine has stepped even a rung lower.
Excellent.
Reportedly, they have offered $100,000 to Larry Birkhead to pose naked in the pages of their magazine.
Is he hot? To
no,
girls?
No.
I wouldn't be able to answer that, but reportedly Larry's not interested anyway, so it's a moot point, but still.
It's an odd choice.
Yeah. Maybe just let Larry Birkhead and his ilk slink away under the rock from which they came.
If he doesn't get any of his baby's money from Anna Nicole Smith, he might reconsider that offer.
Yeah, he'll wait and see. And lastly, congratulations to Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich.
Ulrich.
He and his, I guess they're married or they're girlfriends. I'm not sure if they're, I think they're married. He's married to Gladiator actress Connie Nielsen, who also was on the tail end of the season of Law & Order, SVU. She was real good on that show. Apparently, Connie gave birth to Bryce Thaddeus Ulrich Nielsen.
Oh. Thaddeus.
Thaddeus. Bryce Thaddeus. The couple has a blended family. She has a 16-year-old son from a previous marriage. He has two sons aged 8 and 5 from previous marriage as well. So it's just one big nutty Brady Bunch over there in the Metallica household.
I'm sorry, did someone say Thaddeus?
That's Tad's music.
Wow, did you pull something reaching back for that one? Put some ice
I don't
on
get
that.
The opportunity to use Thaddeus very often.
Yeah, because it was 27 years ago. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danny Elfman. Of course, legendary leader of Oingo Boingo, but currently best known is his work as a film and TV composer. 54 years old today, LaToya Jackson is 51 years old today. Ted Levine. Very talented character actor from Silence of the Lambs can currently be seen on Monk over there on USA. He is 50 years old today. Actress Annette Bening turns 49. Melissa Etheridge is 46. Lisa Welchel, Blair from The Facts of Life.
Oh, wow.
I loved me some Blair back in the day. You know, before she put on all the weight, but still. She's 44 years old today. Noel Gallagher from Oasis turns 40. And Melanie Brown, Mel B, Scary Spice from The Spice Girls is 32 years old today. Are you excited about the reunion? I know I am.
No.
Yeah, they're working on a new single.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be out sometime this year. Oh, then they're going to get together and tour.
No.
Where do I get my tickets? Where do I get them? Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I'm sure you saw the Ducks game last night. Game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Ducks ended up winning on Friday of last week. We got a chance to check in with their goalie.
Time to check in with one of our favorite new websites, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a day that goes by that Ralph doesn't come in and go, seriously, did you see what's on hotchickswithdouchebags.com today? And the genius behind it is named Jay Lewis. He joins us now on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. What's going
that's
on?
Not,
that's
hey,
not. But that
Jay
isn't.
Does not. He doesn't even play for the Ducks. That guy runs a website.
That's a website guy. This is the guy we're looking for, I think.
Jiggy, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, pretty good. How about you guys?
Very good, thank you.
You gave us a little bit of a scare. That Detroit series was a little tougher than some of the others to get to this point, huh?
Yeah, you know what? Detroit played really well. They, you know, they were a really tough team to beat, but the main thing is we found a way to win, and we're really looking forward to the next series.
And when you say you found a way to win, you pretty much were the way to win. I mean, they were the announcers were going over the top saying, oh, Jaguar is stealing the game from the Red Wings. Oh, this is great, Jaguar. I mean, it's just amazing what you can do. I think that position more than any other in hockey.
Well, yeah, I mean, goaltending is always a big part of hockey, obviously, and especially in playoffs. But tell you what. You're not going to win any game if you don't score any goals in the other end. So you got to give credit to our players, too. They did their part.
First of all, Game 3, obviously, you'd prefer never to think about the nightmare that was 5-0 Detroit. But tell me that I read it correctly in the paper that your house got TP'd after that game.
Yeah, you read that correctly. I got home maybe 2 hours after the game there, and sure thing, there was toilet paper everywhere on my lawn, my trees. There was a couple of Red Wings sign logos on my garage doors. I was like, no, that was unbelievable. I couldn't believe somebody did that.
Well, it's not enough.
That takes guts.
It's not enough that they beat you 5-0. You got to get TP'd on top of it. I saw you in an interview saying that's when you decided to step up your game. You got to do even better now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can't get, you know, You got to get them good. You know, they made my game better, I think.
You know, one of our K-Rock listeners that we talked to on the phone, I think he was involved, what did he say, Kevin, with like food preparation or something like that? Some way yes. He had an encounter with the Red Wings, and he handed some of the players tissues for them to use as they cried on the way back to Detroit. We were very proud of him. So it's a small measure of revenge for you, G. Now, the other game I wanted to talk about was the deciding game six. There's never been a more nerve-wracking final period in a hockey game than knowing you were that close to closing it out and seeing Detroit coming back and scoring goal after goal. I mean, that 20 minutes seemed like it took 2 hours. It was so nerve-wracking.
That was an unbelievable period. To be honest, you got to give credit to Detroit. They never quit. Usually a team that facing this situation will, you know, maybe kind of call it quit and cash in their chips, but they didn't do that. And we found a way to get a couple, you know, two or three penalties in a row. So they got some big power play goals there. And last thing you know, they were one goal behind us. So
it was
nerve wracking for everybody.
It was 4-0, right? Going into the third period, 4-0. You guys
it was,
were
3-0.
3-0. Okay.
We scored a big goal there.
Right, yeah, but when you say it's nerve wracking for everybody, really, you more than anyone, I would imagine. I mean, really, if you don't let in a goal, you guys win at that point. And that's especially, this is something I wanted to bring up too. When you're the goalie in hockey, you can only do so much. I mean, there's right. guys right in front of the net, the puck's coming 100 miles an hour, and they just tip it with their stick, or it bounces off of you and somebody's in the other position. It's kind of impossible to do it all yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, you need everybody to win. And you know, as a goalie, all you try to do is make that first save. You know, if you can be in the right position all the time, then the puck's going to hit you, and then you got to rely on the other guys to do their job and clear the puck. And I think for the most part, we did that pretty good, though.
Well, I gotta imagine, too. I mean, of course, the athleticism in that position, in any position in hockey, is remarkable. But your hand-eye coordination has to be so unbelievable to be a goalie. I mean, I watched that whole first game where both of the goals Detroit scored came off of your players, bounced off of your guys. I mean, it's one thing for you to keep an eye on the other team and their sticks, but now you got to look out for where the puck goes when it hits your guys. I mean, it just must be, there have to be times where you just have a blind spot where you just miss it. You lose track of the puck, right, Jiggy?
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, you know, playoff hockey, especially late like this right now, you know, they're going to be goals like that. Goals are going to go in, truth. They're going to hit somebody else in front, and they're going to be tipped in and stuff like that. They're usually ugly goals, but that's what you need to score some goals in the playoff. Everybody's working so hard. It's just impossible almost to beat the goalie from a clear shot, you know?
Right. Have you had time, Jiggy, with the playoffs taking so much of your time, have you had time to keep up with the Sopranos, or you wait until after the season to watch them all at once? I know you're a big fan.
Well, I'm a huge fan, but you know what I do is I always buy the DVDs. And because we have so many road trips during the season, I go through so many different type of series. I go through The Sopranos, I go through Lost, Deadwood, and all those series I just watch in the plane. So it kind of kills the time at the same time, and I love doing that.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. Well, I'm glad you haven't been watching because it's kind of a doubter so far this season. I don't want you thinking about some of the stuff that's going on in Tony Soprano's world when you should be concentrating on Ottawa. So it's good that you're saving it till after the season. Now, let me ask you one more thing, and I have a feeling you're not going to want to talk about it, but let me ask anyway, because the articles are starting to come out. People can't help but notice that you're one of the best goalies in the NHL and that you're about to become an unrestricted free agent. I guess people are already in the newspapers talking about where you're going to end up next year. How do you avoid thinking about that and talking about that with the week ahead?
Well, you know, I made the decision at the beginning of the year that I wasn't going to worry about my free agency. I knew the Ducks weren't going to negotiate with me during the season. So I just kind of left it on the back burner, and that's where it's going to be until, you know, there's only two more weeks left in the season. So that should be easy not to think about that. Once, you know, the season's all over, it's going to be the time to you know, look towards that, but you know, I'm not too worried about it right now. I hopefully will be able to stay here in Anaheim because I, you know, like I always told you guys, I love it here. So
I'm glad to hear you say that.
I think it would be easier to not think about it if you're doing so well because you don't have a lot of worries. I mean, I think it would weigh on your mind a little bit more if you're having trouble. But when you're kicking ass, you just go kicking ass. I'll think about it later.
Yeah,
I don't have to do that.
No, yeah, exactly. It's a little easier that way. You just you know, at the end of the day, if you play well, then you put the chances on your side. And
yeah, exactly.
You know, exactly.
when you're getting ready to go to bed, when you realize you're back in the cup, do you do anything special or you have any kind of ritual or anything like that? Or is it just another night before a game?
It's just going to be another night before a game. You can't change anything. You know, you got to stick with what you've been doing all year. You know, at the end of the day, it's only going to be another hockey game in our life. So the key is to have fun. You know, I think if you go out there and enjoy yourself, how else can it go wrong?
Play
you were a kid, you know?
That's what you tell the grade schoolers on the soccer field, dude. This is
just have fun.
This is Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, you do want to win, right?
Well, no, I mean, you want to win, but
okay, good.
You work hard all year just to get there.
No, that's true.
You have to enjoy it, you know?
That's right.
The next time it's going to happen, so you got to enjoy the moment.
Jiggy, you're going to be done with games, but can we ask you now, will you make the commitment that you'll come back on after you guys win and bring the Stanley Cup back to Southern California?
Absolutely. I promise you guys I'll do that for you guys, for sure.
John Sebastian Jaguar from your Anaheim Ducks. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And Rockin' Tour is on the way. Also, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Hey, we did the countdown this weekend of the most popular K-Rock bands of all time.
Right.
Was the Red Hot Chili Peppers number one on the countdown, for the top Memorial Day countdown?
No, it was the Buggles.
Oh, the Buggles.
Buggles.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
It makes sense.
As we got the Chili Peppers coming up, I thought maybe that was good fortune. Hey, the world of superheroes is changing. You know, superheroes have never been hotter, of course, not just Spider-Man. I mean, the Batman movies and so many other things going on. X-Men, so popular right now. But it's not all for white guys anymore. You know, there's black superheroes now. Ralph did a story a few days ago about Marvel Comics getting ready to unleash some new Latino superheroes on the world. I guess that's relatively new in the world of comic books, but they got them coming. I guess Alegua is going to be the head of an all-Latino comic book team soon.
Yeah, he leads the Centurions. They're the first all-Latino comic book team whose powers are derived from the Afro-Caribbean religion of Santeria.
Huh. Hmm. Interesting choice.
Latino superpowers. So we thought we would check in with Marvel Comics, and let's give them a call and find out just exactly what's going on with these. Calling Marvel.
I don't know much about the Santerians, except that Robert De Niro movie that I saw, where they have the Santeria in it. That was about it. That's about the sum of my knowledge of that religion.
Well, we'll find out. Calling Editor-in-Chief Joe Quesada.
Thank you for reaching the desk of Joe Quesada. This is Rudy Cisneros. What's popping?
Rudy?
Rudy?
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean. What are you doing?
Oh, what's up, eh? Yeah, you always find me in my new job, eh?
When did you start working at Marvel Comics?
Like 2 weeks ago or something like that. It's crazy, man. It's been like a whirlwind up in my dome piece, eh?
Hey, Rudy, why is it you can't seem to keep a job? What's up with that?
You know what I'm saying? It's like... Like people say, like I'm not respectful to my the people above me. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like I don't understand like the chain of command. You know what I'm saying? But like I don't let people tell me what to do. You know? Like I gotta keep a gangster. I let my nuts hang, eh? You know what I'm saying? That's how I ride, eh?
Well, that might be part of your problem.
I lean like a cholo, eh?
Keeping a job. Now, what are you?
That's right. Cue it up. Cue it up.
This guy, Joe Quesada, that you're working for, he's the guy who's bringing the brown man into the superhero world?
That's right. Eh? Like, they're going to do, like, this comic book, I guess, like, mm-hmm. about, like, Carabiners, you know, like the beaners down in the Caribbean. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're not called Carabiners, really.
Don't tell me about my culture, eh?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, the truth is, like, I don't practice Santeria, eh? I ain't got no crystal ball.
Right. I heard that, yeah.
Waiting all day to say that. Like, so, no, but for real, though, so, like, I figure, look, they're branching out to, like, people in South America, eh? Like, stuff like that. Super. I wanted to, like, be able to give them some ideas on, like, Mexican superheroes, eh?
Okay, so
that's... like they got me. I'm like a idea maker, you know.
You're an idea maker.
Oh, that's what my business card says. Rudy Cisneros, leaning like a cholo, idea maker.
Okay, so in other words, they brought you in to help them develop some Mexican superheroes for Marvel Comics. I got gotcha. You.
Right, that's right. And like, so like I've been thinking about. You know how they have like Aquaman?
Sure.
What about Aquanet? She's like a female superhero, and by day, she's a student at Maranello Cosmetology School, but by night, she freezes criminals with her hairspray that she uses to mold her crunchy, crispy hair,
Well, great.
That's right.
She's already got an otter. Why not?
She stabs the punk-ass bitches with her impenetrable diamond eyebrow pencil.
No kidding. Wow.
I like it.
Clean. What about super sperm?
Super sperm.
Like any fine Latino man, super sperm can impregnate any woman with his x-ray wiener.
Oh my God.
I don't know how that helps fight crime, but...
He looks at her for like 15 minutes. always, he's like, go check. Do the pregnancy test. I dare you, eh?
So he could get him pregnant just by looking at him?
X-ray wiener.
Wow.
And 9 months later, they can't do crime anymore.
That's right, eh? No, like, there'd be no female crime. Everybody's walking around all fat and pregnant, eh? Like, waddling around.
Let me make sure I understand here, Rudy. You don't practice Santeria?
I ain't got no crystal ball.
Okay, I got it.
You know what I'm saying?
What other characters are you trying to push there at Marvel?
What about, you know, like, they got the Silver Surfer, eh?
Yeah.
What about the Denim Surfer?
The Denim Surfer.
Yeah, he goes in the water to fight crime, but he has to put on denim first. Like, he puts on his Levi's cutoffs and he goes and surfs.
Of course he does.
But what's his power?
Surfing in denim.
And how does he stop crime with that?
Because that's intimidating, eh? You go to the beach, you see a guy in denim, you're like, damn, he's crazy.
Well, I think you need to do some work on that one, I think, Rudy.
All right, one of my better ones is Inertia.
Inertia.
That's right. Okay. No matter how powerful the force is against him, Inertia remains fastened to the couch at his parents' house. He vows never to get a job or a place of his own.
Okay, and how does he fight crime?
He's inert.
He's inert.
Doesn't really do much, eh? Like, no. I'm trying to stick with the Mexican theme. Help me out here, eh?
Yeah, well.
Right. Sounds like maybe you based that one on Dave Sanchez, who answers the phones here at K-Rock.
Like, I try to draw from my personal life, eh? Like, you know they got Flash Gordon, eh?
Sure.
What about Flash Gomez?
Flash Gomez.
Flash Gomez.
He's like the fastest guy on Earth, but he can reach America from any part of Mexico before any Minuteman can blink his eye. He burns across the border. They're like, hey, where'd he go, eh? That's Flash Gomez.
Okay, Flash Gomez.
I like it.
And then, like, the leader of their team is the Constant Gardener.
The Constant Gardener.
Yeah, he's from his headquarters deep at the Buena Park Home Depot.
Uh-huh.
The Constant Gardener is prepared to handle any manual labor-based meat task you can throw at him. Whenever you need him, you put up the hologram of the leaf blower in the sky, and the Constant Gardener will be there.
That doesn't sound like much of a superhero.
No, he's dope. He's virtually indestructible, except if you call the INS. It's like kryptonite to him, eh?
He doesn't fight crime, Kevin, but it's awesome to have around if you need some yard work done.
That's true.
Amazing. He does plumbing. He's like Jack Stefanski. He does plumbing, heating, air conditioning, whatever you need, eh?
Well, it sounds like you need a little work on some of those.
I guess so. You know what I'm saying?
But do they seem to be taking you seriously?
No, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't practice Santeria,
right?
But, you know. I ain't got no crystal ball.
How nice is it, Kevin, to not get all the emails about the Kevin Bean curse anymore? How nice is it that that is dead and buried for real, for good, forever, always?
I'll tell you what's not nice is we're not getting credit for it. So we have to take the blame when things go south, but no one's writing, hey, thanks, guys, for the win.
Well, that's just BS.
Yes, it is.
That's a very good point, Kevin. I'm glad you brought that up. Nobody was emailing saying, hey, guys, you've talked to Jean-Sebastien Jaguar, the goalie for the Anaheim Ducks, every single round of the playoffs. Make sure you get him on the show ahead of the Stanley Cup Finals, which we did on Friday, and here's how the game ended.
Spets in the last 13. Waits and fires, and getting a piece of it, Jaguar. Around behind Fisher. Out in front. Oh, a ranking shot. Fought off by Jaguar. Played along by Boschman. 5 seconds to go. It's not out yet. Still time for a shot. He'll have to hurry. Off of Fisher, and the Ducks have taken game one.
A lot of Jaguar in that piece of tape. A lot of Jaguar saving your ass last night during the game, huh? You notice that?
Yes, yep. I did.
There were some pretty tense moments. Didn't you love the one where he lost his stick and one of his teammates tried to pick the stick up off the ice and threw it to him and he just pushed it away? I don't need it.
Yes, you care. Well, he was trying to watch where the shot was coming from. He had lost his stick. And yeah, the guy flipped it up near his head. He was like trying to get it off him. Like
oh,
he was,
God.
It was almost made it worse for him. It was unbelievable.
It was another phenomenal performance, and of course the Ducks came back in the third period and ended up tying it and then winning it. It really looked like it was heading toward overtime, but with less than 3 minutes left, they had the go-ahead goal. It was very, very exciting. There were a couple of notes, even if you're not a hockey fan, that I think you will enjoy from the game. Now, of course, it's still crappy that hockey is on the Versus network instead of not on a network that people watch.
Yep.
I mean, for God's sakes, it's the finals for hockey. Would it kill ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox to preempt some of their crappy summer replacement or reality shows to put some hockey on?
I think NBC is the channel that has games 3 through 7, but just not 1 and 2.
That's weird.
Well, because they're on the weekend. That's why. Because NBC will give up weekend time, but they won't give up weeknight time, which I think is super crappy. But, you know, the spotlight is on Anaheim. The spotlight is on the Ducks. And they come out for the national anthem at the beginning of the game. And there's a woman that I'm very deeply in love with that we need to find here this morning. And she is local and sang the Canadian national anthem last night.
Thank you.
That's not the club I wanted at all.
Thank you.
Significant day, Memorial Day. Since 1946, the anthems of the countries have been heard. Kelsey Scott sings O Canada.
Kelsey Scott from Laguna Niguel with the singing of the Canadian national anthem.
Oh, Canada.
By the way, pretty lame anthem, too. I mean, ours is nothing to write home about. We're just used to it. Canadian anthem, pretty lame, didn't you think?
I kind of like their anthem. But I wasn't as in love with her as you were. I thought, yeah, she's kind of cute, but who is she? Why is she singing the national anthem before game one of the finals?
Yeah, that's what I don't know. It's not like she was a Canadian pop star or celebrity or something like that. She apparently, as nearly as I can tell, she was wearing a Ducks jersey. She seems to be local. They said she was from Laguna Niguel. And she came out and she kind of looked like Kate Bosworth. And I thought, wow, kind of a hottie. So if you know her, get her in touch with us. What's up with that? So that's Canada. So you feel like, well, they've come out and they've done their thing. Now it's time for USA, USA. Now we're going to raise our game. Let's see who we've got for our national anthem.
And now, as we honor America and our armed forces around the world, please welcome two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, legendary recording artist Stephen Stills, with the singing of our national anthem.
The guy from Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
How old is this dude?
So 118?
Proudly we hail. At the twilight's last gleam.
Now, Lisa, you're hearing this for the first time this morning. You were not watching the game yesterday. No. Does this not sound like your grandpa singing along with whoever is talented who's really singing the anthem?
I think my grandpa could do better.
Yeah.
For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
The only thing I can think is Stephen Stills is red hot right now.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
that's
you
true.
Can't turn on the radio or the TV without hearing a great, oh, wait a minute, we haven't heard from him in 35 years.
Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
All right, here's the big finish. You'll love it.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free.
Apparently it's the land of the free.
And the
you're right, Kevin. I think you said earlier that Sanjaya would have been a better choice than Stephen Stills singing it last night.
We live in Los Angeles, for God's sakes. There's all kinds of people in the music industry that could sing the national anthem. How do you choose Stephen Stills? How's that your choice? It's game one of the finals. You made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, something that hockey teams dream about doing.
And is he like a huge hockey fan? Was he at all the games or something?
I don't know. I can't imagine he has that much energy. He was just about to pass out dead. How do you choose Stephen Stills? How is he on the list that you even think about?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I'd love to know. And he did, I mean, unless he contacted them and said, hey, this is Stephen Stills calling. Is there any way I can come to the game or is there any way I can sing the anthem? Because you didn't go after him. The Ducks didn't, like you say, draw up a list and then call him, right?
Well, no, but don't you have to have him kind of run through it? I mean, he, like you say, he hasn't been heard from in 30 years. How about just a little check to see if he can still sing? That's crazy.
See if he doesn't
bad.
Run out of breath before
yes.
the end of the sentence.
He's, oh, my God.
I can't get my head around how something like that happened. I mean, it does seem like there are an awful lot of choices that you could make.
In
Southern California. A lot of choices, a lot of Orange County choices,
yep.
too,
yep.
for God's sakes. You know, people that would be appropriate. Or maybe, if it's going to be just a random singer or something like that, how about somebody contemporary?
Yeah, like somebody under 100.
And by the way, while we're on the topic, one black guy in the Honda Center, one in the whole place. Cuba Gooding Jr., and they go down and they interview him during the game.
Yeah. And by the way, he's a Kings fan. He goes to all the Kings games.
I know he does. I mean, at least he does A-hole. Know something about hockey, and I guess that's why they had him on. But it was not, at least if it was star-studded last night, as you might expect for, the finals in any sport, they didn't show much of him. I didn't see anyone else other than Cuba.
Dude, really, the goalie for the Ottawa Senators is a little kind of black-ish.
Yeah, he's
like a mutt.
Yeah, he's got a little little something in them, I guess. But anyway, it was good times last night. And as we mentioned, we are going to give away tickets for Game 2, which could be the final hockey game of the year in Southern California if the Ducks end up sweeping. But we're going to be giving those tickets away, in the 8 o'clock hour this morning?
Yep.
We got them?
That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here on the World Famous Cape.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning after the long holiday weekend. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Hello. There we go.
I can hear Ralph now.
That's Omar. It's nice to have volume. It's Tuesday back after a long weekend. I know Kevin's been drinking, so you can't expect much.
Omar.
I've got the Showbiz Beat coming up, but first and foremost, I've got an amazing opportunity for you to attend the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13. I think of all the summer movies, I'm perhaps looking most forward to this one. Of course, it is the popular sequel to the sequel of Ocean's 11. After 12, now we've got 13, and it is going to be held at the beautiful Chinese Theater in Hollywood, right there on Hollywood Boulevard, the Grauman's Chinese Theater, Tuesday, June 5th. It's going to be quite an event. Earlier that day at 11 o'clock, they're going to have the hand and footprint ceremony. You know where they put their hands and footprints in cement outside Grauman's Chinese Theater there. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, producer Jerry Weintraub will all be there at 11 a.m. And then later that evening at 5:30 p.m., the stars start rolling up for the red carpet world premiere of Ocean's 13. If you'd like to go, I've got two pair of tickets to give away right now. But I want to give them away to someone who will truly appreciate them. So there's a little trivia question attached. If you're one of the first two callers with the correct answer, you'll get a pair of tickets to attend the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13. Here's your trivia question. Ocean's 13 is the latest in a very successful collaboration between George Clooney and director Steven Soderbergh. They've worked together a bunch of times, not only the Ocean's 13, 12, and 11 movies, but they collaborate on Solaris, Good Night and Good Luck. Soderbergh was the producer on that film. What is the first film that Steven Soderbergh directed George Clooney in? Name that movie right now. 1-800-520-1067. One of the first two callers with the correct answer, I'll give you a pair of tickets to attend the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13 at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Ralph, when you and Mr. Clooney are best buddies after next Tuesday, are you going to be in Ocean's 14? Will you be maybe the 14th that they add if they make another movie?
I've heard Soderbergh at least said he's not interested in making another. But of course,
that's because they haven't met you yet.
Yeah, you're not on board yet.
Yeah, maybe just spin off. You know, maybe it'll be like Gruden's 13 or something. You know, take my character from NYPD Blue and spin me off into my own feature film series. I think it'd be a good idea. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Since we're talking about movies, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End did pretty well for itself. Made $142 million over the long holiday weekend.
Wow.
Not too shabby at all. Pulled in $126 million of that by Sunday. Internationally, it did another well over $200 million overseas. So it's made about $335 million in the past 5 days.
That's all?
Not too shabby.
Oh, wait, that's a lot.
Shrek the Third was number two at the box office. Then Spider-Man 3 came in at number three over the weekend. Only $18 million, dropping off significantly.
Wow, that's a huge drop-off.
Yeah, but everyone saw it. Yeah. It was the first weekend,
true.
So what are you
going
to do?
No one's going again.
Bug was the debut film this weekend that didn't fare so well. Came in fourth with $4.2 million. Then Waitress, 28 weeks later, Disturbia, Georgia Rule, Fracture, and Wild Hogs rounding out your top 10 at the box office last
week. Wild Hogs still be on the list?
I know, keeps bouncing back.
Seems like that movie was out at Christmas.
Speaking of Disturbia, my buddy DJ Caruso directed that film, was on the lot last night. You guys watching the On the Lot show?
I taped it. I haven't seen it yet.
Good one last night. Now they're into the mode where the directors are actually making 1 minute films, the short films, and they're showing them, and then you get to vote on who should stay and who should go.
Cool.
And some real talent in this group. It's got 18 directors, and there's some real talented, funny people. Last night's was one-minute comedies, which is hard to do in a two-hour film, let alone to pull off a joke.
Well, they're called commercials.
Make it popular in 1 minute, but there was some real creative stuff going on last night. So DJ's one of the judges there with Carrie Fisher and Gary Marshall, but I'm really enjoying that show. I don't think it's doing so well in the ratings, though, but I'm liking it a lot. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. Ryan and Whittier, good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. What was the first film that Steven Soderbergh directed George Clooney in?
I'm pretty sure it's Out of Sight.
Out of Sight is correct.
Oh, that was a good one.
How great is that movie?
That was
George
a good movie.
Clooney, Jennifer Lopez.
Good
excellent,
movie.
Excellent film. Congratulations. Hold on. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets so you can go to the red carpet premiere of Ocean's 13.
Thanks a lot, bro.
All right, man.
Kelly in Irvine also got that, so she's going as well.
Congratulations, Kelly. Sad news for Lindsay Lohan.
The vodka company, Svedka, has reportedly pulled out as sponsors of Lindsay's 21st birthday party in Vegas this summer.
Seems smart.
I can't imagine why the vodka company would pull out a sponsor of her birthday over at Caesar's Palace.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe because she plowed her Mercedes into a palm tree and a curb on Sunset over the weekend and got slapped with a DUI. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's because she's been in and out of rehab as much as Britney Spears lately, and maybe they just didn't want to associate with her. So who's going to pay for her 21st birthday party?
Wow.
That's maybe they'll just give her a cupcake in prison.
This is, if I heard correctly, Ralph, her third accident in 2 years.
Yes, this is correct.
She needs a full-time driver. Full-time.
The funny part of the story is, for those of you who only heard the bare bones of it, last Friday morning she was popped around 5:30 a.m. by cops after she plowed into a curb. And reportedly, she was under the influence. There was cocaine also found in the car. But the thing is, she had a full-time driver the prior evening when she was out partying. She went to Ledoux, the nightclub in Los Angeles. She went to a house party in the Hollywood Hills. She went to Sky Bar at the Mondrian Hotel. And she didn't get behind the wheel herself until she had already been dropped off by her chauffeur. She got into her car at her condo and left around 5:15 a.m. and then crashed minutes later. So she had a driver the whole night. And then decided, I guess, well, the sun's coming up. I guess I can drive now. Hammered, allegedly.
Wow. That was some serious, hardcore self-destruction.
Yeah.
Bad judgment on Lindsay's part. However, the good news is Lindsay's just joined the cast of a new movie. Daily Variety magazine reports she is going to star in a movie about a gang of grandmothers starring Shirley MacLaine and Olympia Dukakis. Excellent choice, Lindsay.
A gang of grandmothers.
Apparently it's a wacky comedy about some grandmothers who do funny things.
That's how they roll, yo.
Poor Things is the name of the movie. Lindsay will star along with the aforementioned old broads, and Rosario Dawson and Channing Tatum also will be starring. So things are just going better and better for Lindsay.
Yep.
Misha Barton was also rushed to the hospital over the weekend. She had a bad reaction to mixing medication and cocktails, reportedly. She was at a friend's Memorial Day barbecue in Los Angeles, started to feel ill, and it turned out she was on antibiotics, and they recommend you don't drink when you take antibiotics, especially when you weigh 4 pounds and you haven't eaten since Carter was in office.
Yeah. They should put warnings on those.
Yeah, they should, right on the bottle. They should say, do not drink.
Do not drink, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they do.
She was rushed to the hospital.
I'm sorry. She was taken to the hospital? Was she all right?
Yeah, she's okay.
Speaking of Misha Barton, Lisa, have you ever been out and your boob fell out and you didn't know it?
No. Never.
How does that happen to these celebrities all the time? I spent a great deal of time on thesuperficial.com checking out Misha Barton's boobs this weekend. And how are you walking around with your boob hanging out and not aware of it?
Drunk.
Nah, that has to be the answer, right?
It's got
to
be that.
Because it seems like you'd feel the air, if nothing else.
And if you have a top that has a tendency to do that, you're checking a lot yourself.
You would think,
unless you're some sort of Hollywood celebrity, they don't seem to even notice it. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's a great trend. I've got no complaints about it. I'm just trying to understand it.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Danny Elfman. Not only a famous TV and movie composer, but I guess we all know him as the original leader of Oingo Boingo, 54 years old today. Melanie Brown, she was known as Scary Spice back in the day with the Spice Girls. Now she's known as Eddie Murphy's baby mama. She's 32 years old today. Noel Gallagher from Oasis turns 40 today. Lisa Welchel, Blair from The Facts of Life, 44 years old today. Speaking of George Clooney, remember when George was on Facts of Life? Good times.
Not really.
Yeah, he was one of the stars. He did a lot of sitcom work before he became a big-time movie star. He was on Roseanne. He was on Facts of Life. Yeah. Had a couple failed sitcom pilots himself.
He was Cosby, if I recall
correctly. Right. He was Dr. Huxtable in Cosby. Uh-huh. Yeah. Melissa Etheridge, singer, is 46 years old today. Annette Bening, actress, 49. Ted Levine, very talented character actor from Silence of the Lambs and Monk. He is 50 years old today. And LaToya Jackson, oh, she's 51 years young.
Yes, she is.
Time to go back under the knife, LaToya, and get tightened up again to celebrate. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's talk about chicks who love ugly guys. This is a funny study to me. And there's a story in The Sun, which is a British newspaper / website. And this is talking about this super hot chick that walks into the room, and she walks past all the good-looking guys and goes back into the corner to sit next to her man. And then it describes him as bald and podgy with a pot-marked face and easily the ugliest man in the room.
Wow.
She sidles into the chair next to him and says, "Hi, gorgeous." The man's gargoyle face breaks into a toothless smile.
Oh, come on. He doesn't have teeth.
The good-looking men know they don't have a chance. And then it goes on to describe girls who not only choose ugly guys, but prefer ugly guys. Like when they see a good-looking guy, they say, "No thanks. Nothing good there for me."
I can understand why there might be some women who end up with an ugly guy because they get to know him and he has a winning personality and they decide that's more important than the looks. But given the opportunity to have that same personality, have the same guy treat her the same way and also be good looking, I think they'd choose that, wouldn't they?
You know what? Maybe these are women who've really been burned.
It could be,
Because if you have a good-looking guy, you know other women are hitting on him, and that temptation is always there. This guy is so happy to be with her, he'll never stray.
Yeah, he'll work way harder,
yeah.
First of all. I mean, we talked to a guy on Friday about hotchickswithdouchebags.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And but this story takes it even a step further, which is if they see a hot dude, they walk past him and do not speak to him.
Interesting.
Because they know they're going to get all kinds of attitude, and he's going to think he's the best, and he's going to talk about himself a lot. He's going to turn into an a-hole.
Fighter for the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they, Psycho Mike, I mean, really.
Yeah.
So they say, forget those guys. I'm not even going to talk to those guys because I know there's nothing good there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go find the ugliest guy in the room. And then I know at least he'll have a good attitude. He'll be cool. That kind of thing.
We're gonna take your phone calls if you have thoughts on this, but in particular, if you are a woman who prefers ugly guys, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Lisa, have you ever dated a really unattractive guy?
No, because I need I need to be attracted to him to have sex with him, right?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think that makes me shallow, but no. I need to be attracted to him, and really ugly guys aren't generally attractive.
And Psycho Mike, let's ask assistant producer Alex to step in, too, if she's listening right now. But Psycho Mike, how does it feel knowing that there are women out there that you can't get, even with your matinee idol good looks?
Whatever. They're the bottom feeders anyway. Let them die.
Well, at least you got the good attitude about it.
Gee, I wonder why they think beautiful people have ugly insides.
But, you know, there are also guys. I mean, you know, it's interesting. We definitely just want to talk about women who date ugly men. But there are guys who feel like a really beautiful woman is too much work and too much trouble.
Same thing. Just,
you know, you want somebody who's a little more.
We're not that high maintenance.
Easy.
Who are you talking about?
I'm kidding. Look, I've dated guys that you would probably think are ugly, but to me, they're attractive because they're smart or they're funny or they get, you know.
They might be average, but
they flirt with your mind before they flirt with your body.
Really butt ugly?
Did you say they flirt with your mind before they flirt with your body?
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, they have to because
there's no way to
flirt. How drunk am I?
I mean, I've dated average guys, but not.
How drunk am
not
I?
Is someone a, who goes, is oh a good my question. God, he's hideous.
Yeah.
This article takes it a step further, though. It's not just girls who date not good-looking guys.
Right.
They prefer. They walk into a room and look for. I don't think either of you would be in that category.
No, I'm not.
No, I mean, not unless, you know, I'm in Vegas with you and you bet me like $100.
Yeah, that's different.
That's a total Kevin move.
$100 is different.
But I think about guys we have in all the time, like Marilyn Manson is always with extremely hot women, but he's a very bright, funny
but
guy. And he has the rock star thing and a lot of money.
He's a rock star. That's definitely an
exception. Let's apply this to
but
an average guy making average money.
Average guy making average money, and you
not
prefer that to good looking because you've had a lot of bad problems with good looking or whatever. That's what we're looking for. At 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Dana in Long Beach. Dana, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. So you prefer ugly guys?
No, it's not that I prefer ugly guys. It's just that when you're in a room full of all these guys, if you walk up to this hot guy, if you walk right past him, he'll automatically be intrigued, like, moi, she's not dying over me. And so it's not like you necessarily want to win him over anyways because he's probably going to be a jerk and he's really cocky.
Right.
But it's like you want to go for somebody that has a better personality because we're all going to be, like, ugly and bald in 20 years anyways. So you might as well win somebody over that's going to be, like, entertaining and probably, like, a lot better in the past, like, as far as conscientious about how you feel.
I think a lot of guys think that about girls, and girls think that about guys, is that if you don't have that horrible attitude, you'll be much better at sex because you care more, you have to work harder.
Which is not true.
Yeah.
It's not true.
No, not at all.
Not always?
No way.
Because they don't get a chance to practice much.
let me ask Dana. Have you had bad experiences personally, Dana, with really good looking guys?
No. I mean, I've never been burned really bad or anything like that. It's just that you just always get that general feel from them, you know, and they're just like, "Shut up, baby, I know it." You know, they think they're so hot. So.
Psycho Mike.
Wow.
All right. Exactly. Thank you, Dana, for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Bye now.
I never thought I'd feel sorry for hot guys. You know, super hot guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't date him.
Why?
Too good looking.
Fun to look at.
Yeah, me too. Supermodel, I'm not going to go out with
Come
her.
Come on, you know where
no
your
way.
Level is. You know where your level is.
Well,
right?
That's true.
You know
you do
you're
know
over
where your
level.
Yeah.
Why is that guy dating sure. you?
But it's different for a guy because you can't really gauge a guy's level just on his appearance. Like we were talking about, what if you're a musician or you're rich? It doesn't matter what you. A guy's level is endless. I mean, you can earn a higher level by making more money or.
But I'm just saying, I wouldn't date a male model. I just.
Me either.
Oh,
supermodel?
Yes, you would.
I would not.
If Jason Lewis strut his hot ass in here right now, you would turn him down.
I don't want people going, what is he doing with
Same
her?
Here. Super,
no.
Supermodel.
If you walk by, be like, good job, girlfriend.
Supermodel Adriana Lima, not going out with her.
Freak me out.
I wouldn't date her.
Well, Kevin, people would just think she was your daughter. That's all. So you'd be fine.
Oh. How dare you?
Hey, let's try 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take plenty more calls, but before the break, let's get to Amber in Redlands. Now, granted, she's in the 909, so she's got to pick what she can get. I mean, she's, you know, she can't be too picky anyway.
Sure.
But Amber, what's your thought on this? Women who intentionally want to date unattractive guys. Is that you?
Yeah. I mean, when I would see an attractive guy, I would go and I'd date him because in my head, they have better personalities. And they're going to do more to try and keep a hot chick.
All right, let me ask you this. Are you ugly?
No, I'm not.
Not ugly, okay.
I mean, I get hit on by really attractive men, but, you know, I think to myself, okay, first of all, they're really hot, so they're going to have a freaking attitude problem. And we're going to be fighting over the mirror, and I'm going to have to compete with other chicks.
Wow.
Oh, I see. So you don't want to compete with other chicks, so you pick the ugly guys.
Have you assumed this, or has this been road tested, your theory?
Excuse me?
Are you just assuming that that's true, or have you been burned by really attractive guys?
No, you know what? I've never dated. You know what? I've gone out with really hot guys, but I've never made them my boyfriend.
I got you.
You know, like gotcha. When I see a really hot guy, I'll just do things with him, you know, and like kind of go out with them, but... In my head, I think that.
But you don't
just
mean
so
it.
Good.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if chicks think they're so insecure they can't keep a hot guy. Kind of like how guys are afraid that this woman is so hot, I have no idea why she's with me.
Right.
They
and
almost
then,
sabotage themselves without any reason to.
And then the first great opportunity that she has, she's going to jump out of the relationship with you because you don't think you're up
exactly.
to snuff.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, because you shouldn't be dating more than a couple of points hotter than you. That's why. That's what the problem is.
Yeah, exactly.
Is.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the call, Amber. I'm going to go out and scar my face today just to level the playing field because apparently that's the only way I'm going to find a regular
well,
woman.
Well, a guy like you, too hot. You're just too hot. That's
right.
The problem.
That's my problem.
We have a song for you girls, and then we're going to take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Those who prefer ugly guys are whores.
It's a nice song. We just thought
well,
we'd
that doesn't make
that
any sense at all.
1-800-520-106.
Look, I know everyone is bummed out. The holiday weekend is behind us. You're back at work today. It's the last place you want to be. But at least the Kevin and Bean Show comes with good news. If you're an ugly guy, there are women out there. They may be hard to find, but there are women out there who prefer you to the hot guys. And that's probably the best news you've heard all day.
Let's say good morning to Jackie in Hawthorne. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
What do you think? These girls that say they prefer ugly guys because the hot guys spend too much time in front of the mirror and fight you for it.
They're so full of it. Because, I mean, for a girl to say that she really prefers an ugly guy is a total lie. Girls are just as shallow as guys are. We definitely pick a hot guy over an ugly guy. It's just sometimes an ugly guy will win you over first.
Right, so you'll be out there trying to find a hot guy, but every once in a while, a not hot guy will step in and be funny or whatever and capture you.
Yeah, it's not that you're specifically looking for an ugly guy, just an ugly guy might step in and it might not make him feel ugly.
Now, I understand all that, and I think we're all in agreement that that does happen. There's no question that girls will fall in love with a guy because of his personality and are willing to look past, you know, maybe some physical flaws. But you don't think any of these women are telling the truth that say they prefer not to even deal with good-looking guys? They actually like the substandard guy in the looks department? You think they're all lying?
I think they're just full of it. There's no way that a girl's going to go into a, like, let's say they go into a bar or a club or something, mm-hmm. and they see an ugly guy, and they're just going to be like, I'm going straight for him. Nobody does that.
Oh, man, that's so disappointing.
Full of, like, acne and, like, horrible hair and dress. Like, there's no tomorrow. I'd be like, I can save that guy right there. And if anything, if they do hook up with an ugly guy, they completely change him. My sister got with an ugly guy. She was with him for a long time, and she completely redid his wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Everything.
Well, girls,
that's they really love him because he's ugly.
That's the natural instinct of girls is to fix him.
Sure.
Yeah. That's whatever true. You're doing is wrong to a woman. That's for sure. Yeah. We've learned that.
They really like him because he's ugly. They're not going to go ahead and just try and rearrange the whole thing. They keep him just the way he is.
So you think they're lying?
They do.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the opinion. We appreciate that. Let's try Angie down in Venice. 1-800-520-1067. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday morning. We got tickets for the Ducks Stanley Cup Finals game 2 tomorrow night in Anaheim. You can win coming up after 8 o'clock. Angie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Angie.
So you've dated models in the past.
I have. I've dated two guys that were print models, uh-huh. and now I'm dating a guy who's in his late 40s and got a pot belly and balding on top.
But let me ask,
honey.
But let me ask you this question: yeah. did you look for that, or did you just happen to be open and find that?
Well, I've always kind of been open. That's not the issue. But, you know, it's when I was dating the print model guys, yeah, they were beautiful to look at, and I've got great photographs of them, mm-hmm. but never felt wanted.
No
you know, now I have a guy that's like, wow, hey, I actually feel like I'm someone special, and I'm not like, you know, the 80 other girls that he's dated this year.
Well, you are special to that guy. I'll tell you. He'll never give you up.
Hey, Angie, what kind of abuse do you get from your friends who probably were pretty impressed when you had the model boyfriends? What do they say about this guy?
You know, they don't say anything because they know I can be a bit of a bitch, and mm-hmm. I think they're probably scared of me, so I don't think anyone would say anything mean to me.
Because you'll knock them out.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, fantastic. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Let's close with Vanessa, by the way, because she has put this to the field test. She's heard that this is the way to go, is to go with the ugly guys instead of the hot guys. Let's find out how it worked out for her. Hey, Vanessa, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Vanessa.
I dated a really super sweet guy, but I did not want to be touched by him.
Yeah.
He was really, really super sweet. Sweetest guy I've ever dated in the world. But I was so not attracted to him physically. I slept with him once.
It's too homely.
I slept with him once because for the rest of the 3 other months, I was always on my period. I could not do it.
your body was reacting to having to be with him, and you said, no!
I could not do it. I felt horrible. I felt like such a horrible person. He was such a great guy, but I don't know. These girls are making stuff up because I could not do it.
The previous caller said, you know, a bit of a pot belly and balding. That to me is not a definition of ugly at all. That's just a normal average guy.
Right.
But
right.
if you're talking ugly, I can see why physically it's difficult.
Full on sweater being naked.
Oh, ugly girl, couldn't do it.
I could not do it. Wow. I did it once. I took one for the team once, and I just could not do it.
Took one for the team.
Well, you tried.
No, you did. At least you gave it up once to that guy, and he'll remember that for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I have double Ds. Oh.
You are awesome in every way, and we appreciate at least giving him the one memory he'll take to his deathbed. Thank you for the call, Vanessa.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye now. You know, we had this song standing by.
Shallow and quite emotionally stable.
But I think after taking the last couple of calls, we should probably go back to this.
Girls who prefer ugly guys are whore.
It's Kevin and Bean Show back from the Memorial Day holiday weekend. You know, a couple things on TV worth mentioning. I missed the Miss Universe pageant last night, and then I found out that Miss Japan won, and I'm so bummed out. I know. Miss Japan won. Miss Korea was in the top 5. Where were we, Psycho Mike? We love the Asian chicks. What's up with that?
You're not a very good Young, Hot, and Asian website runner. I'll tell you that.
I'm so bummed out. And by the way, one note, though. Go to YouTube. Man, look for Miss USA Rachel Smith, who fell down in her ball gown on the stage, which was pretty awesome. Got to check that out. So that was one thing. The other thing that I have not yet gotten into, but I have heard raves about this season, is the new Celebrity Fit Club, or as we like to call it, Celebrity Fat Club, which I guess is this VH1 show where the quasi-celebrities get together and they all try to lose weight. That's the one, right?
Kind of quasi-celebrities. Yeah, I mean, they've gotten down to the bare minimum here of celebrities.
The Z-list.
You guys remember when Dustin Diamond told us the government was going to take his house? And he was trying to raise money. He was selling T-shirts, and a bunch of our listeners sent him money. He didn't send out any T-shirts. Total scam.
Yes.
Right.
He is now on this program. Screech is on this program. And without him, this would be totally not interesting, because you got Tiffany, and you got Warren G, and you got that super high-talking, like an octave higher than Nick intern that I guess works for Leno. I don't watch his show. I don't know what he does, but he's on there. He's totally gay guy.
Yeah, I know the guy. What's his name? I know the
Ross.
Guy you're talking about.
I think Ross.
Yes, Gay Ross from The Tonight Show. Wait, you're telling me that Warren G, the Regulate rapper, is on The Celebrity? Has he just given up on credibility?
Yes.
What do they say to him in the hood when they go, hey, yo, Warren, how's the Celebrity Fit Club treating you?
I don't know. But the show that I brought in clips from, they were having a dance contest, and they each paired up as partners. Mm-hmm. And Dustin Diamond Screech spilled some water on himself, so he stopped dancing, and they called him out of the contest.
Dustin, Tiffany, you're out.
He's out.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You're out.
No, I didn't stop. I kept my feet moving.
You're out. It's not dancing, Mr. Smartass.
Okay. All right. This is controversy that could ruin the show, you realize.
It's not going to ruin the show.
It will if I bail.
It will if I bail. It'll ruin the show if I bail.
Then bail, Dustin. You're out. Well, bail.
All right. That's bull. See ya.
It was total bull. No one will tell me different.
But it's also not the end of the world.
I stick to truth and logic. That's what I will always stick to.
Yeah,
it will never change.
I know,
whatever. I stick to truth and logic.
Really?
How about
Mr.
You,
they're going to sell my house? How about liar.
Shut the hell up. So they get to the weigh-in. This is where all the fireworks happen. Because
the Wayans brothers are on this show, too?
They have a giant scale, and they have to step up on it, and it lights up in all different kind of colors, and then they weigh themselves, and they have a target with so many pounds they're supposed to lose.
Mm-hmm. I never got with the program yet. I mean, I still eat pizza. And
hell, we had day damn 65, Dustin.
Right.
That's my favorite part.
Day 65.
Day 65. He said, I never got with the program. I didn't see that as being a good weight for me to get down to. So now he's arguing with them on a losing weight show about the fact that he doesn't think he should lose weight.
Oh, my God.
Why is he on it? I don't know. So they finally get frustrated after arguing about him eating donuts. And he steps up on the scale.
All right, you know what, Dustin? Let's see what that donut has done. You're up. Go weigh in.
Come on, Okay, come on, Dustin.
Lose some weight, Dustin.
That, by the way, the last voice is Ross. That's the dude.
Oh, you're kidding.
Lose some weight, Dustin. So he steps up on the scale.
Dustin, last time you were here, you weighed 200 pounds.
Yes.
And you have to know, he's on a team, so they all get judged based on him losing or not losing weight.
Right.
They all have to pull their weight, so to speak.
You set a weight loss target goal of 6 pounds. Your weight tonight is?
So he's supposed to be 194,
mm-hmm.
6 pounds.
205 pounds. You gained 5 pounds. This is a stunning failure.
Imagine it.
Right. The last 3 weeks have been very difficult.
How's that?
Well, I was going to meet up with my trainer. I set a trainer aside. I didn't get together with him once because I got pulled away for a week and a half to Sundance.
Okay, now, he got pulled away for a week and a half to Sundance, Dustin
Diamond. Is he a waiter at one of the restaurants there?
I was at the Sundance Film Festival filming stuff, and part of it was being, you know, going out and schmoozing and drinking. And, you know, I'm not going to turn down producers buying me lobster and steak dinners.
Yes, producers at Sundance are taking Screech out for lobster and steak dinners.
Well, he's
That's
the next
happening.
Movie star waiting to happen.
That's what's happening.
Oh, my God.
You know what I love? And I haven't seen the show.
Camera.
I'm not even able to keep clear who everybody is that's on the program.
Doesn't
but
matter.
You can hear the hate in their voice. Everyone that interacts with Dustin Diamond, TV Screech from Saved by the Bell, everyone who talks to him, you can tell how disgusted they are with him.
They all hate him. Every single person on the show. So he says, I don't think your charts are right. I don't think if I were to get down to where you say I would be way too skinny. So they pull out the scientific chart to show him what he should weigh.
This here is from the Body Mass Index chart, which is a scientific chart that is universally accepted. This is you, Dustin.
Okay.
This is your healthy weight range right here. And this is the upper limit.
That's way too light. I don't think 184 or 183 or anywhere
You're
near
nowhere near there.
It doesn't matter. If I got down to 195, I think that's getting too light for me.
Okay, so now he's
lost 5 pounds.
He's arguing with them on a weight loss show that the upper range of what he should weigh is too light.
How tall is he?
I don't know.
It's like my height. This is, he's not even tall.
5'8", something like
but
that.
But this is like going on Jeopardy. Alex Trebek, why do you keep asking me all these questions?
Yes. So then his team members get mad at him because he gained 5 pounds, and now they get affected.
And you gained 5 pounds. We're your team, and that affects us, and we can't help it.
And you said you were going to try.
Oh, so I didn't try now. It's like I'm living in a dream world.
You said you didn't. This is a lose weight show, Dustin.
Right.
Right. And your
What's
point?
What's your point?
He's so shocked that they're accusing him of not trying, yet he's the one who says, I've been eating pizza, I've been at Sundance, eating steak and lobster and drinking. What do you mean I'm not trying to lose weight?
He's one of those guys that just talks circles around stuff, and you just want to hit him in the face. Because at one point he says, one of the people said, you're acting retarded. He says, oh, so retards are funny now? He says to them. And then about 5 minutes later he goes, hey, it's funny when retards fall. You've never seen my comedy stand up. But this piece is a little bit longer. I want to play it for you because one of the judges on this show is a Marine drill sergeant.
Yes. Right?
Who is always completely under control. He's always under control. He never loses his temper.
If you agreed to combat, I'd fight you.
And I'd wear your ass out. You
would
go toe-to-toe with me?
Come on.
Would you? How are we going to go from man to me?
You I'm saying you're putting yourself in
cartoon mind.
You're putting yourself
in your ass out. You're going to your stupid ass mind.
Okay.
Come on. Tell you what else to damn next weigh in 3 pounds. Get your fat ass out of here. Get his ass out of here. You are full of
Dustin. Dustin.
How you tell me? I will beat your. You must be out of your part-time cartoon mind.
If you agree, we can set up a UFC match.
Don't you ever threaten me and help your fat ass.
You put yourself in
the damn first after you said you kick his ass, you say you kick mine. What the don't you ever think?
Did I say I kick your ass?
Yes, you did. Because I'll wear your ass out. Would you ever in your life ever threaten me, bitch?
Get off.
Because I will wear your ass out. Get the out of here.
Whatever.
What's out of your mind?
Whatever.
He's standing up, screaming at him. You just go, please attack him. Please hit him.
You know how New York on The Flavor of Love, you know how she has this character that she knows is great for television and it's going to be work for her. It's going to be successful for her. She gets this. Is that what Screech is doing here or is that just really him?
I don't know. But
I think it's really him.
He's a douche. And they all despise him. All of them. Everyone on the show.
Yeah.
The host, all of the judges, all of the team members, they all hate him.
We've been doing this show on K-Rock for close to 50 years now. He's still the only guest we've ever thrown out of the studio.
True. That and the Scientology guy. That was it.
The Scientology guy, right, exactly.
But Bean threw him out, so that's bad on him.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. And Ralph, is it true 1 week from today we've got tickets for the for the world premiere of Ocean's 13 that you can win through K-Rock? Is it you really have that given away here all week long?
Tuesday, June 5th is Ocean's 13 day.
Yep.
From beginning to end, first at 11 a.m. outside Grauman's Chinese Theater, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and producer Jerry Weintraub will all be placing their hands and feet in cement outside the famous courtyard of Grauman's Chinese Theater. And then 5:30 later on that day, it is the premiere, the red carpet. All the stars will arrive, walk the red carpet, and then they're going to show Ocean's 13, which I cannot wait to see, by the way. It looks awesome. Of course, Al Pacino joins the cast this time around, but the usual cast of characters are back reprising their roles, and this thing just looks effing awesome.
Well, it does.
I've got tickets to give away. 2 pairs of tickets to give away to the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13. As I mentioned, it's at Grauman's Chinese Theater. It's going to be George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon. All the stars will be there, and you will too. If you know the answer to this trivia question, the first 2 people with the correct answer who call in at 1-800-520-1067 will get a pair of tickets to attend. Here's the question. In Ocean's 11, the original, which real-life showbiz brothers were set to play Virgil and Turk, the Molloy brothers in the movie, who were, of course, played by Casey Affleck and Scott Cann in the first film? But they had to drop out due to a scheduling conflict. What real-life brothers were set to play the Molloy brothers, Virgil and Turk? If you know the answer, call in now, 1-800-520-1067. First 2 people with the correct answer get a pair of tickets to see live and in person the cast of Ocean's 13 and get a chance to see the movie as well. Speaking of movies, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End did pretty well for itself. It broke the all-time Memorial Day weekend record for a motion picture in its debut, made $142 million.
Wow.
Not too shabby. A lot of people, I bet it would have made even more if it had been shorter. Could have squeezed another screening there each day. Probably would have even done better. But a lot of people going to see Pirates this weekend. Shrek the Third was second at the box office with almost $70 million. Spider-Man 3 was third with $18 million. Then Bug in its debut, $4.2 million. Followed by Waitress, 28 weeks later, Disturbia, Georgia Rule, Fracture, and Wild Hogs. Still in the top 10.
I'm sorry, I thought you said Wild Hogs.
Wild Hogs.
I didn't see the Pirates movie, but from what I understand, it could have benefited by being a little bit shorter. Maybe they could have trimmed a half hour or so out. Would have made a better time, don't you think?
Yeah, it was a little long. I still liked it.
Just a little. I mean, it was jam-packed with great stuff, so it really wasn't hard to sit through that extra half hour, but it might have been a little better if it had been tightened up, but I really enjoyed it.
I did, too.
By the way, if you're a vegetarian and you love the Pirates of the Caribbean, you can go to GoVeg.com and watch their new animated feature, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I just want to check that out.
That's a terrible idea.
Encourages viewers to stop eating meat products and learn to love tofu if you want to go see Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow.
That's just me.
Wow.
Actually, that's not me. That's other people.
Yeah.
But you want to check that out. Do we have an answer to my trivia question already?
We have Chet from Los Angeles. Good morning, Chet.
Chet.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how's it going?
Chet, there's not enough guys named Chet out there. That's a great name, Chet.
Thanks, Ralph. I appreciate it.
You know the answer to my trivia question? Who was set to play Virgil and Turk, the Molloy brothers, in Ocean's 11?
It was Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson.
That's
originally right.
Luke and Owen Wilson were supposed to play those roles, but they dropped out to go do the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oops.
Yeah. Maybe some regret there as they look back over their lives. But you're absolutely right. Hold on. We'll tell you how to get your tickets. You're going to the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chet.
Thank you, Chet.
Mario in Los Angeles also got those tickets.
Chet. That's a guy's name. Hey, Chet. Let's go drinking, Chet.
I say more Chets, fewer Marios in the future is what I say.
How are you going to come into Mario like that?
Just saying.
Oh, bad weekend for Lindsay Lohan. I don't know how your Memorial Day weekend was, but hers pretty rough. According to In Touch magazine, today the 20-year-old actress is willingly checking herself into Promises Rehab Center. This afternoon she's going to be taking herself there. Hope somebody drives her.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have a great track record with automobiles.
How's the bar there at Promises, by the way?
A little light on the alcohol.
It's lacking. I found it lacking.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She got popped on Friday for suspicion of DUI. There was also cocaine found in the car.
Yes.
Then she went to the hospital for minor injuries from hitting the curb and a palm tree on Sunset. And after she got out, she went to another party at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood. And if you want to see the photos of this, you can go to x17online.com. And there you can see Lindsay having to be helped up from her knees outside the club because she's staggering so bad. They throw her in a car, and she is what appears to be passed out, unconscious, cannot be roused by the person driving her as they try to get her home. So she had quite the bender over the weekend.
Sweet! Ralph, what's the relationship like with this young woman's parents? And the reason I ask is because I saw Michael Lohan, her father, on one of the entertainment shows using their camera to get a message to his daughter.
Yes. They're not speaking ever since he went to jail. They've had a strained relationship. He is currently out. But he told the New York Post, "The writing was on the wall years ago. She needs to go to rehab, and my ex-wife should go with her," he said.
Oh, dude.
So no love lost between the Lowens.
Is she going to be out in time for her birthday party so that she can drink hard?
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with this arrest. We still have to wait and see. Now, keep in mind, Michael Lohan just completed a 2-year jail sentence on DUI and assault himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the whole family.
He may not be the best role model, but I just think as a rule of thumb, if you're using Access Hollywood to get a message to your kid, maybe there's a reason your kid is as screwed up as she is.
Yeah, well, mom likes to party, too, with her. They go out and party together and stuff. There's no one helping this young lady out. And to make issues worse, her 21st birthday party, which was supposed to be at the Caesars Palace Pure Club there in Las Vegas, now is in danger because the vodka company, Svedka Vodka, that was supposed to sponsor the party, has pulled out its sponsorship.
Oh, what's she going to do now?
I don't know. I mean, God forbid she has to buy her own drinks. I don't know why the company would back out, though. I mean, sure, she's attended Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and had some rehab time at Wonderland. And now this accident and the cocaine bust. And this is her third accident in the course of a year. And She is going back into rehab. But does that put a bad light on alcohol?
But when you look at how old she is, at least that makes sense. She's had some time to live and screw up, right?
Actually, she's just 20 years old.
Well, that's right. She can't drink yet.
No, she can't.
Right.
Bad news. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo, and of course, a very popular TV and film composer. He's 54 years old today. Melanie Brown, Scary Spice from the Spice Girls, and also the mama of Eddie Murphy's latest child, 32 years old today. Noel Gallagher from Oasis turns 40. Melissa Etheridge is 46. Annette Bening, actress, 49 years old today. LaToya Jackson of the Singing and Dancing Jackson family is 51 years old today. And Lisa Welchel, Blair from the Facts of Life, the hottest of all the Facts of Life girls, I believe.
Oh, by comparison, I guess.
I mean, early on, before she packed on the weight.
Yeah.
But come on, who else you got? What are you going to go with? Tootie?
Dude, Tootie.
Joe?
Tootie later in the show.
Oh, stop it.
Dude.
Tootie, never.
Tootie was not hot.
Never Tootie.
Did you see Tootie's rack later in the show?
Yeah, her rack was fine, but that's where I called quits.
She's a hot Nubian princess.
She was better than before, but you have to
think
she improved.
Blair,
but...
No, Blair's deaf cousin was the hottest.
Well.
No, I like the one in the wheelchair. Who's she? Who's that one?
Blair.
I didn't want to be a thing of comic. She was my favorite.
Blair.
She was hot. Blair.
I wish I'd seen that.
Oh, how can you not remember her?
I have never
Guys,
even seen
B.
Facts of Life.
He's B. Enough said.
Blair.
I didn't have the TV in the 70s and the 80s as much as maybe you did.
Well, you're making up for it now.
Mrs. Garrett?
Yeah. That was her cousin, too, wasn't it?
It was
just
her
a friend.
Cousin, but she was deaf and...
She wasn't deaf.
This is a show about Special Olympics?
What the hell's going on here? She wasn't deaf.
Yeah, that's right. And then she poured a glass of wine, I remember, and everybody was cheering and celebrating. It was awesome.
Yeah, especially Lindsay Lohan. That was her favorite episode. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I need some clarification from you guys about parking. Parking garages. You know how nightmarish they can be.
Yeah.
I go to LAX last week. I believe it was on Monday. I was flying to San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and I had a 10:50 flight, and it was like 10 a.m., and I was trying to find a place to park. Now, that's cutting it pretty close.
Yes.
It is.
As you do.
Right, 10:50. So I was driving around. I went on one whole floor, couldn't find a place to park, went up on the second floor, finally found a girl walking who you know, you gave the international signal for, are you leaving?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm leaving. Follow me. So I'm a little bit too far for her car, so she walks behind my car, and she gets in her car, and I start to back up. Soon as I start to back up, I see in my rearview mirror a guy coming who just came up onto that level, and he
Uh-oh.
Sees that she's backing up,
right?
And he throws on his signal and speeds up so that I can't back up far enough. So now he's right behind me, 1 inch behind me, and I'm blocking her from getting out.
Oh, that's BS.
This is a mess.
Right? That now who's in the who's
he's
to
wrong.
Blame there, right?
He's way in the wrong.
So
he's way in the wrong. It's all you.
So I put it in reverse and I start slowly backing up. I'm just gonna touch his bumper. I'm fine with that. He needs to back up. He won't do it. He's just sitting there. So now we touch. And the woman who's trying to get out is now honking. Because I'm behind right. her. I'm blocking her in.
Right.
Right.
So what do you do?
Get out and hit the guy in the face.
I started turning, like, little by little to try and, like, back up that way so I could still block him.
Mm-hmm.
But right. she could get out. That's what I was trying to do.
And by the way, the minutes are ticking toward your flight ticket off.
Yes.
It's not like you have all the time in the world to play games with this guy.
And this guy just sits there and he inches forward when I do that, so I can't do it.
Wow.
So he opens his door a little bit, and I open my door a little bit. I am going to go all crazy on his ass. You know me, right?
Sure.
So as soon as I open my door, he closes his and backs up and leaves.
Oh, yeah.
What?
The intimidator, ladies and gentlemen.
Jerk.
But I'm not in the wrong, am I?
Not at all.
But I was
not
blocking the girl. Like, she was
right.
angry because
right. Well,
she
you didn't want
out.
To block her. You planned on backing up to give her room to get out of her space, but then douche nozzle didn't let you. You're totally in
so
the clear.
So that's all on
dude.
Him, right?
It's
yes.
all on him. Absolutely. I mean, we're just basing it on the way you've described it. I don't know if you've shaded it a little bit in your favor here as you tell the story, but the way you've described it, it's absolutely his fault.
I was livid. I was like, I need a parking space. I need it right now. And he totally sped up and slammed on his brakes right behind me, so I couldn't back up.
That now, there is one move. There's one exception, though. If it's Chuck Liddell, like on Entourage, you give him the space. You don't fight with him. You give him the space.
Chuck Liddell before or after Saturday?
Before Saturday,
okay,
not
before.
After Saturday.
Then I move it out of the way.
Spence in the last 13. Waits and fires and getting a piece of it. Chiguerre around behind Fisher. Out in front. Oh, a rushing shot. Fought off by Chiguerre.
is there no Kevin and Bean curse, but Jean-Sébastien Jaguar has benefited greatly from talking to us on this radio program before every round of the Stanley Cup, now into the finals with a win in Game 1 last night.
And I'd like to thank everybody who yelled at us for being a curse. I'd like to thank all of you for emailing us after that game and saying, sorry about that, we were wrong. You guys aren't a curse.
That didn't happen. Nobody actually does it look that way. However, we did get your emails asking who the guy from Special Olympics was who was singing the national anthem last night. That was actually Stephen Stills from Crosby, Stills, and Nash was the fine selection that they made down there at the Honda Center to open up with the national anthem. So hopefully better things for tomorrow night for the anthem and another win for the Ducks. We're giving away tickets to Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, can you name all these world-famous ducks? Well, let's find out right now. If you can name all these world-famous ducks, then you will win right now.
It's time to play Name That Duck. If you can name the famous duck, you have a chance to win Anaheim Duck playoff tickets.
Oh, can you name all these world-famous ducks? Well, let's find out right now.
Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Mr. Announcer Man, this is a very, very hot ticket for a sold-out game at Honda Center tomorrow. I know you are excited. I hear talk of you and Mrs. Announcer Man going to the game, perhaps.
We love the Ducks. We love to go to the games and watch those girls with the tight asses clean up the ice.
Well, that is kind of a bonus. You're right about that. All right, so the way the game is played, Mr. Announcer Man, is you're going to be asking questions, all of which answers are famous ducks. Is that correct?
Famous ducks!
All right, let's begin with Robert in Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning, Robert.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to the show. Here's Mr. Announcer Man with your question.
Robert, this famous cartoon star never wears pants, leading Mickey to suspect that he's effing goofy.
That would be Donald Duck.
That would be Donald Duck.
You're right.
Nicely done.
He has no pants.
What's up with that, by the way?
I have no idea.
All right, let's go to Mark in Fullerton. Good morning, Mark.
Morning.
Mark.
Mr. Announcer Man, Mark is a bartender. That's why he sounds so unbelievably tired this morning.
All right.
All right, here we go.
This guy laid an egg in a George Lucas-produced movie that became known as one of the cinema's biggest bombs.
Howard the Duck.
Nicely done.
has anyone in the room or on the phone seen Howard the Duck? Is it as bad as they say it is?
Leah Thompson's awfully hot in it.
Is she?
But that's the only thing it's got going for it.
But it's bad. All right. Let's go to Chris of Long Beach. Good morning, Chris.
Top of the morning.
Chris, this legend battled Marvin the Martian as Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
Who is Daffy the Duck?
Who is Daffy the Duck? Correct.
Close enough.
Very impressive.
All right. Let's go to Catherine in Costa Mesa. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Catherine.
Now, so far, everybody has gotten their question right, which means everybody is in the drawing for the Ducks tickets for tomorrow night. So far, you're batting 1,000, Mr. Announcer Man.
Catherine, this webbed mascot for this insurance company could kick that Geico Gecko's ass.
Oh, the Aflac duck?
Aflac.
Nicely done. All right, we'll put you on hold. We're going to do a drawing here in a minute. Let's go to Ben in West Hollywood. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, guys.
Ben, this 2.5 Men star became famous as Ducky in the John Hughes classic 16 Candles.
Charlie Sheen.
Wait, was it Pretty in Pink?
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
Sorry, the other star of that show.
John Cryer.
Sorry, dude, you're the first person to lose. We gotta let you go. All right, let's go to Ian in Orange. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, quack, quack.
Quack, quack, Ian. This Disney star may be the richest duck in the world.
Richest duck in the world?
Richest yes. duck in the world.
Right, that's what he said. You got to give us the answer.
Gosh, I don't know.
That's not correct.
Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge.
Yes, Scrooge. Thank you for
that. Well, you don't give us the answer after we've told you what it is. That doesn't help anyone.
I got it. Now it's Scrooge.
Oh, yeah.
Elsa in Anaheim. Good morning.
Hi.
All right, Elsa, listen up. Here's Mr. Announcer Man with your question.
Okay, Elsa.
At the end of his second term, President Bush is currently this kind of weak-ass waterfowl.
I don't know, stoner duck.
Yes! Oh, no.
Stoner duck.
Not stoner. I'm sorry.
No, not stoner duck. Lame duck.
Lame duck.
He's a lame duck.
That's what they call him when they don't have much time left in... Oh, never mind. Elsie's already going.
All right, let's go to Sean in Montrose. Last one. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, what's up?
Sean, these three nephews are a pain in Donald's feathered ass.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You tell me.
All right, I will. Huey, Louie, and Dewey, Donald's nephews.
Yeah.
Disney stars.
Yep.
Famous ducks.
All right, we have Robert, we have Mark, we have Chris, we have Catherine.
The winner is Robert in Rancho Santa Margarita.
All right, that was our first caller. Congratulations, Robert.
Thank you so much.
You got tickets. I hope you're a hockey fan.
Oh, I'm a diehard Duck fan. I love the Ducks.
Fantastic. You got tickets for game number two of the Stanley Cup Finals. And thanks for playing our fantastic Duck game.
Go Ducks!
How can you name all these world-famous Ducks? Well, let's find out right now.
All right, Psycho Mike is here. He's our resident expert on the UFC.
Oh!
Tell me about Saturday, dude.
Oh, it's so good! It's so good!
Was it?
Now, yeah. Jay Moore was in the studios on either Thursday or Friday, and he told us that you can put money on the fact that Chuck Liddell is going to lose that fight.
He looked at me and he said, this is my Jay Moore. Hey, Babalu, look at me. Bet the house on Jackson. And I said, why? He said, because I know these things. I saw Liddell partying till 4 a.m. last week. There's no way he's going to be focused and ready to fight.
So Saturday comes, and what happens?
Yeah. Well, it's a great event overall. All the undercards are awesome. And that's another thing that separates boxing from UFC, is that all the undercards are jam-packed. It's not like some schlubs you never heard of fighting some other guy, you know, some up-and-comer. It was nothing but, like, fist-to-face coitus all night long. But one of the better undercard fights was this guy, Karo Parisian, Armenian guy from North Hollywood, who's like a judo expert. I mean, if there's a better judo fighter in the world, please find me one. He goes the distance with this guy, Josh Berkman, who's this real athletic, real tough guy, loves to ground and pound. Well, Karo Parisian, as was expected, took him the distance and won the decision.
Right.
So after the fight, as Joe Rogan is like wont to do, well, he'll interview the winner and see what they have to say. Well, do you guys remember last week when we did Omaroki?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or excuse me, Armoroki?
Mm-hmm.
It seems,
with brows?
It seems that the trend has taken off.
Uh-oh.
And that Armenian people all over the world just have to sing.
My judo throws are the best. Best throws in the world. All the other throws humped on by little girls.
Very nice right hand. Your singing sucks, but you're a fantastic fighter.
Out of nowhere, he's like, I must sing a song. Hold on one moment. That's the one guy I definitely don't want to hear brow down, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Sam.
Nope. Oh, we're not doing Armenian singing songs?
Nope.
All right.
Sorry, no Armenian comedian.
So then there's another fight, the Terry Martin Ivan Salivary fight. Good fight, goes the distance. But you know the reason everybody tuned in was the main event: Chuck Liddell, Quentin Jackson. And for those of you out there who don't know the backstory, Chuck's only lost three fights in his professional career, and he's just gone on this crusade to avenge all his losses. The last guy he lost to was this guy Quentin Jackson. He's already beat up on Jeremy Horn, showed him who was boss.
Mm-hmm.
Then he beat up on Randy Couture, the other guy who beat him.
Right.
And now it's time for him to hopefully avenge his final loss to Quentin Jackson. Who, if you've never seen Quentin Rampage Jackson, imagine someone in the 3-6 Mafia on a ton of steroids. He's just like the thuggest, darkest black guy from the hood of Memphis with a grill, and he wears a big, thick chain around his neck, and he's just this mean-looking black guy who... He's got this X factor about him. He has this freakish strength and athleticism that you can't teach. He came out of the womb just this killing machine.
Right.
So they come out, and the fight, they kind of dance around a little bit, which is not Chuck's style usually. I mean, he's usually ready to throw blows, but he kind of seemed reluctant to get in and mix it up. Chuck goes in for the first kind of exchange, throws a left hook, and out of nowhere, 2 minutes into the first round, Quentin Rampage Jackson hits him with a devastating right hook. Here's a clip of the call of Quentin winning the fight. You can actually hear Chuck's body
winning
hit the mat.
The fight.
You can hear Chuck's body hitting the mat. Listen to this.
Good left hook to the body. Champion.
Is that Vic the Brick screaming at me? By the way? Who's that guy yelling?
That is not Vic the Brick.
They need a little better mix of crowd and announcer.
Yeah. So we have a new light heavyweight champion.
So 2 minutes into the first round.
First round.
Gone.
Yeah. And Chuck is a guy who's known for knocking people out. That's what he does. His takedown defense keeps you on your feet, and then he knocks you out. Well, he got a taste of his own medicine. Just a devastating right hook to the face. And you could hear, like I said, you could hear his body just fall to the back. Quentin jumps on him, some hammer fists right to the face, and that's the end of the fight.
Wow.
And Bean and I were talking about it earlier. With the UFC, they call the fights a lot. If the referee figures you can't reasonably defend yourself, he'll call the fight.
They call them quicker than they do in boxing.
Right. So that opens up a lot of fights for controversy. And at the first, you could see the look on Chuck Liddell's face, like, no way, the fight's over. And as soon as you watch the replay, you could see his legs go limp and his eyes roll back in his head. And then even Chuck's camp knew that Quentin won the fight.
Dude, 2 minutes. That's like Mike Tyson in his prime when you come out and knock him out in the first 30 seconds.
So, yeah, people are going bonkers at my house. I'm having a party. You can see the people in the crowd because Quentin was a huge underdog. Dave's at my house. He's going crazy for the first time, not for Mandy Moore. She's in the crowd.
King of Mexico, no kidding.
Yeah, they're showing pictures of Mandy
Moore. How did Dave get to your house? Do we know?
I believe by rickshaw. But he was hammered when he got there.
Now, let me ask you this. Was it so awesome that you didn't mind buying a fight that was over in 2 minutes, or were you kind of pissed that it didn't turn into a full-on fight
Of the undercard being so good and because of kind of the excitement of even though it was short, the excitement level was so high in that knockout, I definitely found that it was worth it. So like I said, after each victory, Joe will go into the ring to talk to the winner. And I love Chuck Liddell, but I'm glad to hear that the new champion is someone who's colorful and exciting.
You were an underdog coming into this fight, even though you had the knockout victory over Chuck in the past. How good does this victory feel?
Hey, it feel good for all you fans that boo me. Add another boo to that, and that would throw a breath smell like. Boo, boo. I got my fans, all my fans. I love you. Everybody that's my fan, come join me tonight. It's beer, baby. Drinks on the house. If you get somebody to buy you one.
Now, typically,
drinks on the house if you get somebody to buy you one.
Typically, when he says drinks on the house,
that means they're free.
No. Means he's buying.
Yeah.
No, Quentin.
I love him.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's awesome.
That sounds like a good night.
Yeah, it always pays off. The UFC. Thumbs up to them.
Fantastic. Thank you.
So it's Clooney, Pitt, Damon, Garmin. That's the lineup for Ocean's 13, Ralph. That's what we're talking about for next Tuesday.
Ocean's 14. That'll be
14.
When they add my character.
Well, I was thinking of this Tuesday coming up, though. It'll be the four of you hanging out on the red carpet.
Yeah, but, in the next film, I'll play Kroenke the Enforcer for Danny Ocean, so it'll be very entertaining. It is Tuesday, June the 5th, Ocean's 13 Day in Hollywood. First and foremost, at 11 a.m., you want to get yourself down there and watch the hand and footprint ceremony where George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and Jerry Weintraub will all put their hands and feet in cement outside in the courtyard there at Grauman's Chinese Theater. Then later that same day, on Tuesday the 5th, will be the premiere, red carpet premiere of Ocean's 13. All the stars from the film will be there, as well as many, many others. It's going to be a very exciting day, and I've got my final pair of tickets for today to give away. If you'd like to go, if you're the first caller at 1-800-520-1067 that knows the correct answer to this trivia question, you're going to get a chance to see all the stars in the red carpet and see the premiere of Ocean's 13. In Ocean's 12, the last time we saw Clooney and the gang, is a very funny scene in which George Clooney and Brad Pitt get drunk on red wine watching a classic American sitcom that's been dubbed into French, and they're trying to figure out what's going on in the episode. It's very funny. What classic American sitcom are they watching? What TV show are they watching that's been dubbed into French in Ocean's 12? If you know the answer, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take a look at top 10 movies at the box office over the long holiday weekend, shall we? Pirates of the Caribbean at the World's End broke the previous record for Memorial Day weekend opening and made $142 million. Boy. Not too shabby for Johnny Depp and company. Shrek the Third was number two, then Spider-Man 3, appropriately enough, at number three. Bug was four. Waitress, number five, then 28 weeks later, Disturbia, Georgia Rule, Fracture, and Wild Hogs, starring the immortal Tim Allen, at number 10. How'd that bounce back into the top 10?
No idea.
Has to be a misprint.
Speaking of movies, Hollywood Reporter says that The Dark Knight, the sequel to Batman Begins, directed by Christopher Nolan, is going to have four sequences in it that will be shot with IMAX cameras. That means when you go to see the movie at those special IMAX movie theaters, the sequence will blow up and fill the entire screen at those particular moments.
Cool.
Promises to be very exciting. It's not unusual for a film to be remastered in order to be shown at an IMAX theater, but this is the first time scenes of a normal, regular motion picture have been shot for a regular release specifically for that purpose. So it should be quite entertaining. I don't know if you've seen the image of Heath Ledger as the Joker on the internet yet, but yeesh.
Really?
Yeesh. Good, bad, aww, not good?
It looks like... All right. Looks like Heath Ledger was driving down a bad stretch of road in the 909 someplace.
Right.
And tried to put on his lipstick. That's pretty much what it looks like. Just smeared it all over. And it's very, you know, very sort of like the Crow. Remember how the Crow looked in the movie, the Brandon Lee? Looks kind of like the Crow with red lips.
It's one thing,
my favorite Joker appearance, but yeah.
To try to come on and, you know, replace Cesar Romero 25 years after the TV show is off the air, but it's a very different thing to come on 10 years after Jack Nicholson has done his Joker and try to top it. I mean, that's a little soon for something that's pretty iconic already.
Jack put a pretty good stamp on that character. You're absolutely right. So they're going out a different way with the look. They're making more like a serial killer kind of spooky guy look. Mm-hmm. And it looks just, he looks like a really upset drag queen.
Hey, have you ever seen one of those? You do not want to upset them.
You don't want to screw with them.
Nope.
Yeah, I've seen the Tyra Banks show. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, that's right. We have an answer to the trivia question?
We do. We have Gary in Studio City. Good morning, Gary.
Morning.
Gary, what TV sitcom are George and Brad watching in Ocean's 12?
Happy Days.
That's right. Happy Days dubbed into French. They're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, getting loaded on red wine. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll tell you how you're going to get your tickets. You're going to go to the premiere of Ocean's 13.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hold on.
It really should be a fun day. I just want to keep everybody up to date. It is 7 shopping days until Paris Hilton goes to jail. I'm going to keep you posted. And maybe she'll have some company in there. Lindsay Lohan had a great weekend.
It'd be awesome if they were bunking together.
Yeah, she first of all had that accident on early Friday morning where she was reportedly driving under the influence. She also got banged up, said she had to go to a hospital. Inside her car, they found some cocaine. Then when she got out, she went out and partied again. If you go to x17online.com, you can see all the photos of Lindsay just S-faced drunk, passed out on the passenger side of the car. And then today, she tells us that she is going into Promises Rehab this afternoon because she thinks maybe it's time she cleaned up her act. This time, she means it, though. Remember when she was in Wonderland, the treatment center? No.
She didn't mean it.
Didn't
that
mean that. Remember the AA meetings that she was upset because the paparazzi were following her? Forget that.
Didn't mean that.
This time, it's personal.
Until she has her birthday.
This time it means something. It's for real.
There's very little good that can come out of being driving on sunset at 5:30 in the morning. That almost never means good things are happening in your day.
Unless you're looking for a cheap hooker. That's when the rates are lowest, I've found.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Personally.
Okay.
And Rosie O'Donnell's off The View. She quit last week after her big blow-up with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. I don't know if you're interested at all, but she's got a... an online video blog that she keeps on her website. Whoa!
Yeah.
You see her on this thing. Couldn't you seriously put on some makeup or run a comb through your hair?
No, that's not
something?
Her.
She just got a bandana wrapped around. She looks like just a lesbian biker who got hit in the face with some gravel going at high speeds on the back of someone's Harley.
I saw the picture. I thought it was Heath Ledger from the Batman movie.
I did. I wish Heath Ledger looked that scary.
Rosie is a very self-destructive person. Rosie's basically a loser.
Rosie's saying she quit. Rumor is now Disney booted her off the show because they had enough of her shenanigans.
Sure.
And if you watch this video blog, it sure sounds like she got fired. She says things like, it's sad that you don't get to say goodbye to your staff. And she had to have her assistant clean out her dressing room because she wasn't there to do it. So it sounds like
you
had an ass full of her.
I'm sure her staff really was upset that she couldn't say goodbye.
Yeah.
Her staff was busy going around drawing mustaches on Hasselbeck's picture, remember?
That's so cool. That's my favorite part of the story.
And they admitted that. That is true, by the way. That did happen.
Yeah. That just happened.
Totally think I'm gay.
Some people were very upset that I have not mentioned the fact that Charles Nelson Reilly passed away over the weekend.
No one was upset about that.
Very angry email.
No,
so
they
I want to give Charles his due and say, yes, fixture of Hollywood Squares and Match Game, Charles Nelson Reilly passed away this weekend.
Nobody was upset about
it. It gives me an excuse to do that. That's okay.
He was one of the first kind of openly gay TV stars, wasn't he, Ralph?
Yes.
I mean, he really kind of broke down the barriers a little bit.
I don't think he could have disguised it if he wanted to.
No, I don't think so either.
He and Paul Lynn pretty much were out there for everyone to see. Today's celebrity birthdays, Melanie B. Melanie Brown, Scary Spice from the Spice Girls, is 32 years old today. Noel Gallagher turns 40 years old today. Annette Bening is 49. LaToya Jackson turns 51. And Danny Elfman, our good friend from Oingo Boingo, of course, now he's a very accomplished TV and movie composer. Speaking of the Batman movies, he did that famous theme, amongst many others. He's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Remember when that band used to make records, by the way? Remember when The Offspring actually was together and recording and putting out records and touring? Oh, those were good times.
Remember when, they offered to play a singles party and we said, no thanks.
I do.
We got a DJ, don't need a band. Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, we may have made an error in judgment.
Been a
that
bad
particular
decision.
Hey, here's a phone number I'm going to give you. You might want to take down if you're driving down the road or you're sitting around or you're goofing off and you think, hey, I need to tell Kevin and Bean about that. But they're off right now. They're not on. What should I do? Well, here's the number to call. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro line. It's 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You call us on any topic and leave us a message.
But you have basically a stage dive. Funny.
Here's what I like about TMZ.com and our friend Harvey Levin, who we're going to hopefully speak to tomorrow on the air. They put this video up, and then they rewind it and show it again. That's fantastic. You can go to TMZ.com if you want to see Miss USA fall right on her ass.
You know, she had a very bad night, Miss USA, because the Miss Universe pageant, which aired last night, was in Mexico. Now, the U.S., despite being the country that makes it possible for Mexico to exist by supplementing their economy the way we do,
right.
The U.S. not popular in Mexico. So not only did she fall on her ass in her expensive gown, she got booed every time she was on the stage last night from the people in the audience because she was American. And then she came in fifth. So it was not all in all like a banner night for a beauty pageant contestant.
Don't hold Miss USA responsible for our president.
I know. It's yeah, not
fair. She's not really in charge of the wall. She doesn't really have much to do with the immigration policy. She's just a pretty girl trying to win a crown, all right?
Big UFC fight over the weekend. Chuck Liddell and Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Rampage. R-A-M-Page.
There's a Raiders fan trying to mix it up in the offseason.
Hey, Lisa, I just seen your picture on the internet, and there's something uploading in my pants right now.
Nice.
Wonder if that works.
Very smooth.
Does that work? Does
oh,
that
it's so
on?
Hot.
Yeah.
I
What's
want
up,
him.
Kevin and Bean? I'm here with my friends. We're talking about farts. What's up with white people's farts? Why do they all smell the same? They have that same smell. You can tell the fart between a Mexican person and a white person. What's up with that?
I was not aware of that.
The white guy smells like mayonnaise, that's why.
Right.
So, Kevin and Bean, I just called about the farts, white people farts. I forgot to say hi to Lisa May. Hi, Lisa May.
Thanks for calling back. That was nice.
Did you know Peter, Bjorn, and John, their initials are PB&J?
Sure. How do they do
it? How stoned are you to realize that?
Wow. I saw the posters for Rick Dees. The guy's out of work a little, just a short time, and he gets a big old fat ass like that. That's sad, man. Guy needs to get a Stairmaster or something.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're, out of the limelight for a little while. You just start eating.
That's crazy. Those commercials and those billboards, him with that big ass, that's crazy. They must just sit around and laugh all day.
Danny, spell moist. Moist. M-O-I-S-T. Moist.
Nice. One person. One K-Rock listener's on the floor right now.
Yep.
That's it.
Today's show is seriously hilarious, and I think you need to have Jay on a lot more. Jay on a lot more. Jay Moore. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. Don't feel like you have to call with every thought, though. You
Kevin,
can.
Tell me you're going to stop playing that stupid Hasselhoff clip. Come on. It isn't funny anymore.
Are you kidding me? What? It isn't funny anymore.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
That makes me laugh every time, and it will for another year. Absolutely. I apologize if that's the case, but that's just the way I am.
If I had sex with two lesbian midgets, would that count as having sex with one woman?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how to rule
on that
one.
Not good with math, but I think so. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
A-S-R-O-L-I-N-E. I'm on the Apple line, and I'm high to the sky, and that's all right, 'cause I can rhyme, 'cause I'm on the Apple line with Kevin and B.
Now, when you're high, you think what you're doing sounds great.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Listen to that.
It doesn't. It just doesn't. I'd like to close with this.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You get on the air, you get a prize.
And I love the beginning of the week on the Kevin and Bean Show because we roll out the new prizes. Today you get, an iTunes gift card featuring some of your favorite iTunes artists playing at the Bonnaroo Music Festival. That's coming up in June in Manchester, Tennessee. This is that huge festival, by the way. The Police, White Stripes, Tool, Franz Ferdinand, Wolf Mother, so much more. You get all of that just for being on the air with us here at the world-famous K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let's begin with Ruben in Buena Park. Good morning, Ruben.
Do nephew, baby boo, Lisa May.
Hey, Ruben.
What's going on?
Hey, I got a message from Mr. Mike, Psycho Mike.
Yes.
I hope you like chocolate, baby, because we got a new UFC light heavyweight champion, baby.
I know. It's exciting.
Rampage.
Yeah, you went all the way to Vegas. You were at the fight.
$900 for my ticket, man. My wife's pretty pissed off at me, but.
$900, and I hope you got there late and missed all the good fights and only saw the 2 minutes.
You know what? I got there about 3 o'clock. I seen a bunch of dark matches, but it was awesome, man. It was awesome. It was worth every penny, man.
It was to see Chuck Liddell go down in 2 minutes.
Oh, man, a minute and 53 seconds.
It's unbelievable.
Hey. Yeah.
All right.
Very, very unbelievable.
Thank you, Ruben. I like that Ruben bought the tickets, and his wife is pissed. She didn't even, they didn't even talk about it before. $900, yeah.
I wonder if that breaks down to per second of Liddell fight for $900 watching that fight.
Jenner in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Okay, I'm not as big of a fight fanatic as the last guy, but I actually don't watch UFC very much. But I'm thinking Johnny Drama might have had a chance with Chuck Liddell Saturday night.
Yeah, is that right?
Possibly.
I mean, you know, I'm more of a lover than a fighter, Lisa, but you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But,
I know what you're saying.
I'm thinking, I don't know, I might have a chance with that guy. That guy can't even take one punch? Come on.
I'd be willing to bet that you would have a good shot at him. Yes, you and Chuck Liddell, that'd be good.
Well, the thing about getting hit like that is it can just hit you wrong. You can be just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it can do some serious damage to you. It happens all the time to good fighters.
Yeah, if a guy punches you on the jaw, it tends to hit you wrong. You're absolutely right. That hurts a lot.
And let's not forget that they're not wearing boxing gloves. They're wearing smaller gloves. It's essentially like getting punched with a bare fist.
Yeah.
So, Chuck is far from a pussy.
Wow. You offended? Psycho Mike?
Yeah, no, Psycho Mike. That's
no,
right.
No, he's not a pussy.
He's not. I'm telling you.
But I would like to see Jenner jump in the ring with him. That'd be funny.
Yeah, it would be good. All right, let's go to George in Santa Monica. Good morning, George.
What it do, guys?
What's going on?
Lisa, hello?
Hello, George.
Hi, we're here. Go ahead.
Lisa, my love, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's going on?
I just wanted to see if anybody had checked out Miss Universe and watched Miss Venezuela get robbed last night.
We just watched Miss USA fall.
Yeah, that's all. We saw
Ralph,
that on the video.
You didn't see Miss Venezuela, the most beautiful woman to probably ever walk the face of the earth.
I'll tell you, I checked the lineup before the pageant, and yes, you're absolutely right. By far, she was the most attractive of all the contestants. She did get robbed.
Fine, and she could start wars.
She's smoking hot.
And yeah. She didn't win? Who won?
Miss Japan.
Miss Japan. Bottom of the barrel, in my opinion.
But anyway. George, what guy is sitting around going, oh, she got robbed?
That's a good question.
She's the hottest woman in the universe, and that's the way it's supposed to work.
You didn't see Miss Venezuela, though. See, if you would have saw her, you would have seen maybe, that she deserved.
But you're going to watch that entire pageant and then get upset about the outcome? Seriously.
No, I saw the top five, and I just saw the top five.
All right.
Yeah. And, you know, watch an Asian girl win.
Take it easy.
Who is least attractive. You know, I'm sorry.
Take it easy.
All about that.
He's right. She got robbed.
Now, let me ask you this, Ralph, because I don't know if the caller is like you who just does it like the Asian women, but was she attractive otherwise? I mean, I know that's maybe not your type, but she had to be very pretty to be Miss Universe, right?
She was attractive, yeah. But of the five, I mean, Venezuela.
Just
was,
no Miss Venezuela.
Yeah, it was just obviously leaps and bounds above the others. I don't know what her.
She's no Sandra Oh, though. You're not saying that.
No, she did the talent competition or whatever, where she spun her, you know, plates or something. I didn't catch that part. But I know in terms of sheer looks, it should have been Venezuela.
All right. Christy in Brea. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. What did you do?
What did you do?
Hi, Christy.
Last week I was listening when you guys were talking about the National Lottery Night. You guys had the guy, the creator on there or something.
National Bingo Night, yeah. We told him it was a terrible idea.
Or the Bingo Night. That's right.
Yeah,
Bingo,
well,
right.
I don't know how much response you guys have gotten, but my husband is so excited. We've been watching the commercials when he watches No Deal, Deal or No Deal, and it's kind of like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire deal all wrapped into one, and he's been online waiting to know when he can print out his bingo cards, what kind of prizes you're going to win.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
What kind of a gigantic loser are you married to?
I am married to a nerd. He's a gambler. He loves playing poker, but he's real excited. He can't wait.
No
one stay home on our Friday nights to do National Bingo Night.
No one cannot wait for National Bingo Night. That's under 70.
So there are some people that...
Is your husband over 70 years old?
No, he's 32.
I reject that totally.
This is
unbelievable.
Sad.
Very sad.
One of the reasons they put the show on is because, and it's hard for me to believe this, but millions of people across the country do play bingo. I mean, it does have kind of a built-in following of bingo fans, but even if I'm a bingo fan, I can't imagine tuning in to watch other people play bingo on television.
You know, millions of people jog every day in America, too, but they shouldn't just have an hour of people running down the street.
If they can figure out how to make a game
not
show out of it, they probably would.
Everything should be on television.
I agree. Look, I'm agreeing with you,
no,
but
you're
I'm
not.
Just saying.
Millions
I
of people
am.
Play bingo. That is, doesn't matter what.
I'm saying that's why they put it on, because they know that there are people who enjoy bingo. I can't imagine watching that show, and I can't imagine it's going to be around for much longer,
and
because I think the ratings have been bad.
Being married to someone who's excited about it. Christy, I'd like to suggest that we need to talk to your husband.
Well, you know what? He's a smooth talker. He's a salesman. He's a car salesman. He's a salesman.
I think we can handle him.
Toyota, so
wow. I think we can handle him, Christy.
Wow. Car salesman who loves bingo night. You've got a winner. No more calls. You've got a winner. Just divorce him. Just divorce him and be done with it.
Hey,
no,
Christy? Christy?
Bingo habits.
Christy?
Yes.
No bingo! Play still on!
Sorry. No bingo.
Okay,
we're going to put you on hold.
He's right next to me now, and he's over here like, hey,
put him on.
There's nothing wrong with
give
bingo.
Him the phone.
Put him on.
Put him Christy, on. Give him the phone.
The whole story about this thing is...
You are a gigantic loser.
She was with me playing bingo at church. She won bingo. She was afraid to stand up and say bingo, and she won $250.
Okay, but let's get back to the point where
nothing
you were
to do with watching televised bingo,
where you were playing bingo on TV.
And
I
you can't wait to print out your cards.
Oh, I can't wait to print out my cards. I'm going to print as many as I can.
Look, Christy may have won at bingo, but she lost at life if she married you, my friend. I mean, let's be honest here.
It's your Friday night.
I would like you to say, "I am a loser." Say it.
Say I am a winner.
So wrong.
You are no winner, sir.
Bingo.
You're
if
giving,
I win the bingo.
You're giving up your wife's prize right now by doing this.
I'm giving up my wife's
prize? Yes, you are. Prize, yes.
Her prize?
We're going to have to hang up on you. She got a prize for calling, and then you ruined it. You had to come on and ruin it.
I had to come on and ruin it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Maybe you'll make up for it on bingo night. And you'll get one of those valuable Kmart gift certificates.
No bingo. Play still on.
All right. Thank you for talking to us.
End of the world as we know
by
it.
By now.
Bingo
wow.
Night.
Wow.
Well, I think that's a sad note to end on, but I think we're going to have to, unfortunately. Kat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. How about some Chevelle? How about some Bad Religion? Their latest Honest Goodbye. We've got the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Modest Mouse, Tool, 311, and new music from Papa Roach, too. It's all straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.